about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The opportunity has arisen to present this to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
New green automobile models include hybrid, natural gas, and hydrogen technologies.
New green automobile models include hydrogen and electric.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
So, congratulations to all of us, and may equality live long and prosper.
Man can.
The annual Quahog Star Trek convention, where once a year, sci-fi buffs take their lips off the barrel of a loaded gun and spend half a day adjusting their eyes to sunlight.
Drugs. Why do kids take drugs?
Because they're awesome? No, maybe they just understand that life is pain, and if you smoke something or take a pill, it'll go away for a while.
Don't drink to that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Lubbock, Texas. Hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
I'm in a boner.
Just like the other one.
Your name was Egon.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's just so rad. I love it.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And I draw ding dongs on people.
Roll.
Never. Nope.
Just like the other one.
What it is this.
This one seems to be about to end.
Action, action, action.
I don't have another cent.
And then times changed.
Pound the cheer up. Things ain't so bad.
But don't bogart that joint.
I disagree with everything you've said.
Just pass it around.
Tissue, please. I now need tissue.
But don't bogart.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You did it.
No, weed did it.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. What's happening?
Where's your key card, Kevin?
With my wallet and money.
But, and so you actually know where it is?
Yeah.
Is that
at home? Yeah, it's at home. Yeah.
What's something?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to Las Vegas today?
Yeah, from here.
How's that going to work without your wallet and money?
I'm going to have to leave during Ralph Showbiz Beat. I don't know.
Oh, that's not good planning.
No, of course not. My wife said, hey, can you take my car tomorrow because I want to drive yours? And I said, fine.
Uh-huh.
And then everything's in my other car.
Everything that you need to go to Las Vegas.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. I know we never have time to talk about sports, but congratulations on your big hockey signing.
Thank
something
God.
I know Kings fans have been sweating a great deal.
Drew Doughty, those of you that don't know, young, 21 years old, one of the best defenders in the league, scores goals. He's been holding out until last night.
How much did they give him?
I didn't see the final number. I saw the years were eight, which was
yeah, so
a little,
it's got to be a lot of money, right?
A little surprising. Oh, it is. Yeah, it was almost 7 million years what they were talking about.
Oh, my God.
He was holding out.
God.
And they had already started camp, and it was like, we have to sign this guy. We must sign this guy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Can you imagine signing a deal like that at 21 years old?
No.
I can't either. Can't even imagine what that would be like.
No.
It's no wonder guys end up in $300,000 cars and floor-length full coats. Because they just feel like, oh, my God, I have all the money in the world ever, and I can buy anything.
Anything you saw that you wanted, yeah. You would just go,
you could buy.
Huh. I could buy that. Let's
some of
buy
us,
that.
Some of us would be responsible with that particular amount
some,
of money.
Some of us.
Some of us would be me. And then you'd be out of a week later. You'd go, where did that all go?
You'd be Peter Griffin on The Family Guy last week, who won the lottery and then blew it all in a matter of a couple of months.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Hey, real quick, I love this story. It's death related, sort of, but
it's
not
everything.
It's that gross. This is a new way to save your loved one's ashes. Now, here are my whole thing. I'm a life is for the living guy, and I have no elaborate dreams or wishes or requests for what Donna or whoever the poor unfortunate woman I'm with at the time of my death will do with my body. It doesn't matter to me because I'm dead. It's whatever makes her happy, whatever makes the family happy, I think is what you ought to do with the body. These people that write these, you know, write this stuff out about all the stuff they want done to their body, I say screw them. They don't get a vote because they're dead.
Right,
okay.
It is their body and they do write that while they're alive.
Right, but who cares what they think? They're dead.
But listen,
is how I look at it.
I agree with you as well, but not everyone does.
But bury me in the backyard or hang me from a tree or throw me onto the interstate. It doesn't matter to me. I'm dead, okay?
Let's hang him from a tree.
I would like that. Can we hear that before you're dead?
Here's a couple of Alabama conservation enforcement officers who have come up with a new way for avid hunters to honor their loved ones for eternity. They will...
Put
for
your
a price,
lifeless corpse on the back of a deer and let you shoot at it?
They will load cremated human ashes into shotgun shells, rifles, and pistol cartridges. It's a perfect life celebration, they say, for someone who loves outdoors or shooting sports. This is not a joke. They launched in July.
What?
They've already taken several orders from around the country. MyHolySmoke.com is the website. Cost $850 for a pound of ash to be loaded into 250 shotgun shells. Or they can put it into 100 standard caliber center fire rifle rounds or 250 pistol rounds. And then you go out and you shoot, you know, your loved ones, basically. You know, dad's a hunter. This is your way to go out hunting with dad one last time.
Huh.
Kind of odd, right?
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing I've ever
way
heard.
Way odd, yeah.
And it also seems, I don't know, somewhat unsanitary if you're shooting an animal for meat. Now you've got dad
now
splattered all up inside a deer or something, you know?
That sounds terrible.
I mean, they basically say, look, people do a lot of things with ashes. They put them in rivers or oceans or throw them out of an airplane or, you know, up on the top of a mountain, you know, for people who like hiking or whatever. This is just something for people who like hunting.
But people who like hunting don't want to be in the middle of the explosion, do they?
Wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so
either.
That's
a whole different thing.
Well, I don't know how popular it's going to be. As I said, they just started this summer. They have already received orders. So if you want to check it out, if this sounds like something you're into, it's myholysmoke.com. So please enjoy.
Sounds like little Keith Richards, My Holy Smoke.
Just yeah,
take his
no
dad
kidding.
And smoke it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Just tell me, why isn't it lame? Why isn't it lame?
Never made that claim. Never said it wasn't lame.
Right, okay. You're right.
Pretty decent show, though, today, I think, and this is why. LaQuisha, talking about Jersey Shore.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think we're losing LaQuisha, by the way. She's about had it with Jersey Shore. And she actually,
can you blame her?
She actually had it with Jersey Shore at the beginning of the season. So
yeah, can you blame her, though? And how long is this season? Nothing ever happens on any of the shows, yet I feel like we're in week 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know, but it's good times. Penn Jillette will be in studio.
Oh, he's the best. I love him so much.
Talking about their new show, Penn and Teller Tell a Lie. We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jimmy Kimmel's cousin Sal, who's going to give us his NFL picks.
Okay.
We have you hit on a relative. This is our phone-in topic today. You hit on a relative. Now, maybe you knew she was a relative. Maybe you didn't. But you hit on a relative. And I didn't realize this, but Lisa wanted to have sex with her cousin.
Oh, I loved him. I want to marry him.
And Bean wanted to have sex with his cousin.
Yes. Yes, I did.
He wanted to marry him, too. So that's weird, right?
Well, we'll discuss it
at the time, but in the case of my cousin, just for people who won't be listening, I had never met her before. It's not like I grew up with her and it was creepy. She was a brand new introduction to me, and she was about 2 years older than I was. And I was, let's say I was 16 and she was 18. And she was hot. Of course I wanted to be with her.
At that point, there's no one that you don't.
Right, exactly.
That's a good point.
And she's staying in my house, too. Imagine what that was like. Sweet. She's visiting from England, staying in my house. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this must happen. Of course it didn't.
Plus, we have Jane Velez Mitchell.
Oh, all right.
Oh, fantastic.
Talking about the Michael Jackson trial. And we have a little fellow by the name, nope, we don't have Jane Velez Mitchell at all, I'm being told.
Oh,
that's not happening.
All righty.
So let's be less excited about that and more excited about Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane, everybody.
Come on.
We can do that. We can pull that off.
Creator of Family Guy. He's got a new bogus CD.
I was going to say, no one loves Seth MacFarlane more than Kevin. No one will listen to and enjoy this CD less than Kevin. This is the opposite of you.
But he's so awesome, I don't mind promoting it. Something that
he's unbelievably talented.
Not into, yeah.
Just another thing he's good at. It's insane, really.
And just after the top of the hour, here in about a half hour, we're going to talk to Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
All right.
Dude. That's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Next hour, live in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, illusionist, juggler, bassist.
David Copperfield?
Author.
David Copperfield?
Magician.
King of magic?
Comedian. He does it all.
He's not the king of magic.
He's not the king of magic,
tell you that much.
He's not the king of magic,
but he is. I'm disappointed.
He is the great Pendulette. Maybe we'll ask him about the King of Magic Award that David Copperfield won. Was it Copperfield? Is that who got
it? Copperfield.
Yeah.
First
and
ever.
Find out
first
if it's a... If it's a real thing, if he knows about it, and if he was even in contention for it, or if he didn't even get nominated.
From the American Magicians Association, an organization started by Harry Houdini back in 1902.
Oh, well, he would certainly know about it.
So he certainly would.
It's got to be something, right?
Well, we'll talk to Pendulette about that and also the new TV special in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And our friend Rich Eisen joins us after the top of the hour. First, though, how about Ralph Garman and the show Biz Beat? What's going on?
All the other kids with the pumped-up kicks.
Yeah.
You better run. Better run. Outrun my gun. Maybe a 14-year-old boy in Phoenix took those words to heart a little bit too much. He was arrested this week for making threats over the internet, saying he was about to go on a killing spree. He posted the threats in the comment section of the YouTube video for Pumped Up Kicks. Inspired by the song, perhaps? Police showed up at his house, and what to their wondering eyes should appear... but a sawed-off shotgun in his closet. Good thing authorities stepped in. They were tipped off when other students at the Wiggum Creek Middle School said, you better take a look at these comments. This dude is not doing well.
He's about to lose it.
Yeah. So they stepped in and arrested him, which is sad, but the good news is they were able to intervene, so we avoided a potential tragedy. But just another case of people taking the intent of music and twisting it to their own damaged needs.
You got to know, though, that that guy's going to find whatever inspiration for that somewhere because it's him. That's my feeling.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. He's going to do that. It just happens to be this song, whatever.
Yeah. Look, you know, people are damaged and they're going to find inspiration in the strangest places.
Yep.
It's something that he even... hints, maybe even ironically, or it's going against perhaps the intent of what the song was created for. People will find inspiration in that, and next thing you know, I don't like Mondays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sure. Tell me why. Mike Myers, congratulations. Austin Powers, the love guru.
Oh, no. No congratulations on the love guru.
At the age of 48 years old, he's a new dad. He and his blushing bride, Kelly Tisdale. Have a bouncing baby boy in their life. I was born a couple weeks ago. Little guy's name is Spike.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, they don't. Spike Myers.
Spike.
Spike.
That's
Spike
a Myers.
Spike.
Nickname usually more than it is a name, right?
That's a cool name. Spike Myers. Private
Spike
Eye.
Spike Myers. Private Eye.
So congratulations to those guys. This Ashton Kutcher sex scandal keeps expanding. There's been talk all week about the fact that Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore are separating because Ashton apparently likes to keep company with other ladies than his wife. Now, one of those other ladies, 23-year-old Sarah Leal, is willing to sell her story to the highest bidder. Sarah is the lucky young lady that allegedly hooked up with Ashton down in San Diego at the Hard Rock Hotel. She is asking $250,000 for her story. But she hasn't received that high an offer from any of the media outlets just yet.
If she's got proof, I imagine she'll get that from someone. Maybe overseas.
Yeah. Word is she'd be fine if Ashton just paid the bill to keep her quiet. Oh, she's a sweetheart.
That's nice of her.
She is giving him the option to buy her silence, which I think
okay
is nice.
With blackmail?
Exactly.
Huh. This may be insensitive.
Really?
Or politically incorrect.
What a shock from you.
But Demi Moore, although not pleased that her husband is cheating, has to at least go, well, that woman is young enough to be my daughter, so I guess I get it, right?
Sure. I'm sure that's fine with her.
I'm sure that's how she thinks.
She's very cool with that.
A little more understandable. A little more understandable.
I think so.
Yeah.
As long as the woman isn't in her 40s, I think Demi feels it's fine. Just have sex with anybody you want.
That's what I thought, yeah.
We got to get a book for Bean on people so he can study up and learn how human beings feel.
I'm focusing on the numbers in the case. That's all.
It would be like reading about aliens, dude. There's no.
And he does.
Yeah, that he does.
If he would just treat us like aliens, maybe he'd do a little research and find out something.
Well, she's 23. Why is he so insensitive all the time?
Yeah. Wu-Tang Clan finally is getting in business with The Gap. We always knew it would happen. The Wu-Tang Clan and The Gap would pitch in together and create a common bond.
This has been inevitable.
And yes, we've seen it coming for a long time. The Wu-Tang Clan has made a deal with The Gap to sell T-shirts with the band's insignia on it. They're going to be sold at Gap for $29.95.
That's a bizarre match right there.
No, I think it's perfect. Look, how many... You can't get into The Gap sometimes over there at the Grove for all the brothers in there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Black people love The Gap. We know that.
To the gills. Oh, do they love those chinos? They cannot get enough 100% cotton button-downs. Oh, my Lord.
No one else would carry them?
This is the... not the first time, by the way, The Gap has gotten in business with musicians. In past years, they have worked with Willie Nelson. Well, you can see the connection. Willie Nelson and Wu-Tang Clan. Luscious Jackson, Common, and Daft Punk have all worked with Gap, endorsing a clothing line at one point or another.
Huh.
So congratulations. And this is welcome news for those of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Chris Carter, X-Files creator.
Yep.
Is getting back in the TV business.
Okay.
No kidding. Big news yesterday in various Hollywood trade papers that he's developing a new TV series after being away from television for several years. He pitched it all, grabbed a surfboard, and just traveled. Just said, see you later. I'm just going to go surf the world.
He probably got enough money to not work the rest of his life, right?
Your thing.
Hollywood Reporter says he's developing a police thriller with a female lead that will have a supernatural element to it. So Chris sounds like he's back in familiar waters. No pun intended. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Williams, Greg Brady of the Brady Bunch, is 57 years old today. Actress Fran Drescher, she is 54. Can we get a Beans conversation with
Fran? Perhaps next hour. We're on a tight schedule this hour.
Are we?
We'll make a note. Yeah. Next hour, then.
Okay. Eric Stoltz is 50. Monica Bellucci.
Ooh.
From Matrix Reloaded and Passion of the Christ and other feature films, is 47 years old today. Tony Hale from Arrested Development turns 41. Jenna Elfman is 40.
Oh.
Marion Cotillard.
Don't say it, Kevin. Don't say it.
Is 36 years old. Actress Chasey Chabert is 29. Kieran Culkin's also 29 years old today. And T-Pain, rapper T-Pain, who I just saw at Gap this week.
Wow, that's weird.
Is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That's a song you won't see Radiohead do it in concert very often, I'll tell you that, along with any other song you've ever heard.
They're one of those bands.
Yes, they are one of those bands who go, oh, you know that song you like? You're not going to hear that.
Yep.
They just did a couple of shows in New York last week, and I was looking over the set list, and I was thinking, okay, then.
They don't do that. They don't do fake plastic trees. None of their songs that were hits, they
that people know and love.
Not
right.
Like to perform those.
Exactly. Karma Police. Come on. How do you have that right in your arsenal and not use it? All right. Moving on to the Kevin and Bean Show. So often people ask, hey, I listen to the show, but is there any way you can make it smarter and funnier? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is yes. Penn Jillette is here in studio.
Much too much pressure.
From the great Penn and Teller, show-stopping iconoclasts is how they're referring to you now in your press materials, Ben. I don't
really?
Know if you're aware of that or signed off on that.
Show-stopping iconoclasts?
I saw that, too.
That's what you are, yes.
Back days and days and days ago, back when we were in Los Angeles doing our show all the time. I wrote the press material, and I could have never thought of show-stopping.
You wouldn't have. Who could have?
I had stuff in there like guys.
Well, apparently you're bringing your unique vision of the world to discovery in this new show
we
called
are.
Penn and Teller's
Underline. We are certainly doing that. Yeah. That's just factual reporting. There's no no curly cues on that. There's no serifs on that font. That's just straightforward.
I love that you are continuing to find new ways to amuse yourselves and the audience, kind of in the realm of, in the realm of magic. I mean, it's amazing to me that you continually reinvent yourself with all these new shows.
Yeah, we got this, we've been doing BS on Showtime for 8 years, and we were, monkeying around with Discovery, because really, on Showtime, as much as I love doing BS, we didn't really fit there. I mean, we were trying to do this like science show,
right.
And what they're really good at is like Dexter and Weeds.
Yeah.
So we had to put like the enormous amounts of nudity and obscenity around our science to kind of slide it by them. So, you know, Discovery just kept saying to us, you know, you could come over here and you could lose the nudity and the obscenity, which is the downside, but you could also be able to do stuff that was more science oriented. And also we get to, you know, on...
You'd lose all that pesky audience, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be the worry. Yeah, the worry that they just wouldn't bother.
Right.
I think there were probably many people who watched BS just for the nudity and the obscenity. You know, one of the compliments I get, we do our show backwards, because I remember my parents, you know, who were New Englanders and very puritanical. They would watch Johnny Carson and Red Fox on TV.
Right.
And they would get real excited. They would get tickets to, you know, drive all the way to Springfield, Massachusetts, you know, an hour drive, and see them at this Performing Arts Center. They'd see Johnny Carson and Red Fox and come back heartbroken because the people who had never sworn or told the dirty joke on TV were then very dirty. I mean, to my parents' idea of dirty,
of course.
I have perhaps pushed that envelope somewhat in this generation. But they were appalled at the stuff Johnny Carson said, because the guys would come to Vegas or go on the road and work really, really blue and dirty, and they were squeaky clean on TV, like Saget. That's the way the world's supposed to work. We do a show in Las Vegas, a live show that has not even a hell or a damn in it anywhere. No obscenity, no nudity, no sexual content whatsoever. And then we go on TV and do the show with the most obscenity. So we've always done it backwards. So now the Discovery show will be more in line with our live Vegas show.
The premise of Penn and Teller Tell a Lie is you put a bunch of outrageous claims out there and then prove whether they are true or false, right?
Correct. And then one of them is a outright bold-faced, big, fat, obese lie.
Only one. Everything else is true, right?
Everything else is true, to the best of our knowledge. We do some weasel words in there so that we can't be busted for just making a little bit of a mistake. But yes, there's one that we know is totally out of whole cloth, created a complete lie. And then people, there's apps already available. If you go to Disco, which is what we call Discovery. it's the Disco Network now that we're on it.
Sure.
You know, we got goldfish in our shoes.
That's the energy you guys bring to anything.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. When you think us, you think Saturday Night Fever.
Right, and, of course.
So on the Disco Network, you also get an app that you can get or go on your computer, and you get to vote on which time you think we're lying. And I'll just warn you, you know, it starts next Wednesday, right after Mythbusters, which is the best possible spot for us at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. And I'll warn you that in the focus groups, everyone got them wrong.
Well, I know I did. I believe this is the first episode that I have. I'm just going to have you tell the... you know, the lies? I mean, the truths?
Okay.
And with the lie? Okay, this is from the first episode.
What will be a big, fat lie? You'll see what a zoo employee did with his bare hands when this 350-pound man-eating tiger attacked him. We'll intentionally jam the controls of this airplane and see if the pilot can land it using nothing but the doors to steer. This bodybuilder will try to lift this woman. Did you know that tubas make alligators want to get sexy? We didn't either. This material is 5 millimeters thick. Can it stand up to a flamethrower? For our big finish, a head of hair can lift a Mustang.
A head of hair can lift a Mustang.
Yeah, Mustang automobile.
Yeah.
I believe that one, by the way. I think that's true.
I do, too.
I think hair bunched together is unbelievably powerful and
braided.
Strong, I think.
Yeah, braided.
Braided is the best way to go.
Yeah, we want to do it. And we got this guy, you know, to do it, we got this guy, Johan, who was from Sweden and moved over from Sweden to Texas, I guess, chasing the economy. Just a wild Swede with a dream.
Right.
And he got here and ended up after all his dreams of the American dream were crushed by our economy. He ended up selling his waist-length hair to a TV show for us to lift a mustache.
Oh, what a beautiful story. What a beautiful story that is.
So, in effect, you scalped him.
We scalped him. And he came in. We gave him a trip to Vegas with his wife, and it's great. We do this little interview segment with him, and he says, what do you think of your haircut? And he says, my wife loves it. My wife just loves it. She thinks it's just great. I said, what do you think? He goes, I hate it.
Oh.
I hate looking at myself in the mirror. I hate everything.
And you're partly responsible for that, so you feel okay with that.
I feel very, very good about making a guy be even more whipped by his wife than he was before.
Now, we need to take a break, but I have one other question about that clip, and that is that when you had the pilot try to land the plane with just the doors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I noticed that you were on the ground.
Yes. we did not go up in that plane at all.
But you put stuntmen up there.
Yeah, we did.
For what purpose?
For excitement.
Why do you need anyone in the plane? If it's, it just seemed weird to me. I was like, well, if it's not going to be you, then can't it just be the pilot?
Film it? You had someone shooting, and you also had a co-pilot and a pilot. That's all that was in the plane.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have anybody. I mean, you thought we just loaded it
with undesirables.
That's what I thought.
I wish that were true. I wish we just said, here's an extra $100. It's going to be dangerous. Go sit in the back seat. Like Joey Chitwood's Hurricane Hell Riders. We don't do anything. We just sit in the back seat of these Chevys as they go up the ramps and do a barrel turn. There's a guy sitting in the back seat doing jack.
The show is called Penn and Teller Tell a Lie. It debuts Wednesday night at 10 on the Disco Channel. You may know it better as Discovery. Our guest is Penn Jillette. We'll return after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Some of our songs don't wake you up. That one does.
Thank you. No kidding.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our friend Cousin Sal, actually Jimmy Kimmel's real Cousin Sal, is going to be joining us about a half an hour with his NFL preview picks for the weekend. You know, he did pick the Raiders last week, and you would have won money on that. It's very hard to find someone who picked the Raiders to win a game. So well done, Cousin Sal. Also, the movie beat because it's Friday on the way, and our friend Seth MacFarlane joins us next hour, too. Right now.
Say hi to him for me.
Isn't Seth the best? You love him so much.
Seth is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I really like Seth. And we disagree politically. You know, I do a thing in my book about strong disagreement we had about stuff on the Larry King show way back
there.
That's
right.
But the great thing about knowing that you're going to see Seth is that every woman you know says, you know, if you want to give Seth my phone number, feel free to. You know, I think he is the most eligible in my circle of women I talk to. The person they want most is Seth MacFarlane.
I agree. Right. He's hilarious. He's a good-looking guy. He's unbelievably wealthy and set for the rest of his life.
Stupid rich.
Yeah. Stupid rich, exactly. You know what he's doing. You know why he's on today. That's the voice of friend Penn Jillette here on the
Kevin he's
Beach
talking about he's doing the new Sagan
his
show,
big
right?
band, his big band album is what he's on promoting.
Oh,
today.
Really?
He went into Capitol Records in the big room and sang live with an orchestra and made a big band Great American Songbook album.
That's
his passion. That is his passion.
Oh, sure, of course. So, and he's good, too. He can sing.
He's really good, yeah.
He's really good, yeah. So that's next hour. Let's not bite into your time here, though, Penn.
I wanted to do the whole Seth MacFarlane hunk right here.
Penn and Teller Tell a Lie is the show Wednesday night at 10 on Discovery. And by the way, not to confuse people, but when I was doing a little research yesterday to see what's new with Penn and Teller, there's another show that you did, and maybe it was in Britain. You did another show recently where magicians came on and tried to fool you.
They tried
to show you magic that you didn't already know?
Yeah, it's called Penn and Teller Fool Us, and it's on in the UK, and it's like a big hairy deal over there. It's like Saturday night prime time, and did really well. And Jonathan Ross hosts it with us.
He's excellent.
He's called. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And what happens is magicians just come out, and they do a trick, and Teller and I sit there and watch them like hawks, and then we have a couple of minutes to talk, the two of us, and if we cannot figure out how they did every trick they showed us, we fly them to Vegas, and they get to perform in our theater. So there's an act coming in this Saturday night, as a matter of fact, that fooled us.
I was going to ask how many do, what percentage?
It ends up being about 1 out of 10 or a little higher. And, you know, it's not also, what's great about it is it's not the tricks that kill fool the audience the most, and it's not the acts we like the most.
Oh.
It's just if they fool us. So a guy will come out and absolutely destroy, standing ovation, the 600 people in the audience just screaming, and then we finish, don't even talk, look at the guy and go,
know it.
You know you didn't fool us. And he goes, yeah, I know I didn't. I saw you when as soon as I did the move, I saw your faces. Good night.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then the guy comes out who people kind of go, eh, he was okay. We go, no idea.
How did he do it? Right. No. But it works in your favor because aren't most magic tricks done in like three or four different tricks are used and then everything else is just frosting, right?
Well, when you don't know enough about something, you know, it's certainly, if you were writing a book, you'd break it all down to three or four methods and say it's this, 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 and this. But when actually the rubber hits the road, there's a lot of subtleties, a lot of things, and, you know, it's not enough to say it's a trick. We can't say it's not real magic, you did a trick.
Right.
We have to really know how it's done. So it's what's most surprising about the show is how gentlemanly it is. There's not conflict. You know, we just kind of go.
You don't say.
We don't.
Seen it, off with your head.
Yeah. But also, we only give away. You know, the guys are told, if you think Penn and Teller know how you did it, say thank you and walk away.
Oh,
I see. If you keep saying, I don't believe you, we will keep giving away your trick. So there's a certain game of chicken. Although,
so those that don't think you know it are willing to stand there and let you give it a try. Yeah. But if they think you know it, they're not going to want to give it away.
There's a whole different level of the prurient interest of how much of the trick we'll actually give away on the
show.
That's
interesting.
But it's been going really well. We're doing, and I don't know what happened. You know, I never drink, but I must have, without doing any drugs or drinking, been drunk. Because I said okay to doing a whole series, a whole year of Fool Us in Ukraine. We're going over to Kiev. We're going over to England.
Are you
filming
it all
shows.
In one day?
We're filming 10 shows in 5 days with a Ukrainian host and a Ukrainian audience in simultaneous translation. And all I am hoping...
You might be losing it.
...is that Paul McCartney was right and the Ukraine girls will really knock me out. Because I don't know why else I'd be going over there. It's like, you know, close to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
There's like 5 hours of light when we'll be over there. But that's what I'll be doing. We get the Vegas show out of the way. We get Disco up and running. Tell a Lie Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. And then as soon as all that is percolating and all going great, boom, we're off to the Ukraine.
Will you visit the famous two-headed snake in the Ukrainian zoo there while you're in Kiev?
I don't know. We probably will. What the big question is, will we get to Chernobyl? Will we get to that vacation spot?
Yeah, oh, people are you're so close. How can you not?
You know, you really should go to Ukraine because there's a lot more than two-headed snakes living out there.
And for a reason. I wanted to ask you one last question. I know we're running out of time, Penn, but we did a story, Ralph did it in the showbiz, about David Copperfield.
Huh?
And how he was named the King of Magic.
Yeah, I didn't even know we had a potentate in that.
Neither did we.
Yeah.
So we were like, what? He's King of Magic?
We would certainly abdicate if we had gotten honor. Yeah, I do not believe in a monarchy, even in magic.
Well, apparently he had it, and he threw a big party, and someone stole it from his house, which we find very
funny. It disappear. You don't know that it was stolen.
I don't even know this. I know David. I live in Vegas.
Maybe the story is completely false.
You just have better information than I do.
Probably not.
Someone stole what? His kinghood?
Stole the whatever.
Crown?
How do I know?
Where does this magic
king
of magic?
Not me.
There is no monarchy in magic. It's just hype. It's show business.
There wasn't. There is now. No, that was our theory, is that David Copperfield gave this award to himself. Because what sense does it make?
I don't know. And what powers do you have as king?
He can make you quit doing any tricks he wants.
I suppose
if he's
so.
The king of magic, you work for him.
That's
you're
right.
His subject, right?
Just king of magic sounds like a failed promotion at like a second-rate McDonald's, doesn't it? Come in, get a large fry, a hot apple pie, and you too can be king of magic. And
that's
bring
right.
in the little princes and princesses.
Yeah.
We'll all be kings of magic at Burger King.
If you talk to David Copperfield, run that by him. If it's completely false or whatever, tell us next time.
I'll just say, Vito Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes, okay.
That's the only thing I'm going to say to him about that.
Excellent. All right.
Penn and Teller Tell a Lie is what's up next on your TV with the great Penn and Teller this Wednesday night at 10 on the Discovery Channel right after Mythbusters. Sounds like a ton of fun. Penn, have fun in Europe, man, and please, we'll see you next time, all right?
Please give every inch of my love to Seth.
You bet we will.
All right. Please.
Okay.
Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Wow, what's wrong with you guys today? Come on now. What,
Lisa's car is
crashing,
to?
The paparazzi have been locked out. What's happening over there?
First, three quarters of that was beer mug, the last one was me.
All right, you guys make a good team then. I like the way you divvy up your work
mistakes.
Assignments. Yes. Tonight at 10 p.m., it's the return of Kevin Smith. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show live up at Universal Studios on the City Walk at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater tonight at 10 p.m. Love to have you stop by. You can go to thelovitz.com or babbleonralph or babbleonkev.com for more details and to get tickets. We have a good time, and we are loaded. So
yeah, there's some drinking involved.
Hope you'll come and do the same. I don't know if you guys saw the special this past weekend on the Style Network called Sperm Donor.
No.
But it was a story of Ben, who has been donating his sperm for years for the cash, and just recently has been contacted by about 20 children that are his.
Wow.
Now, this all happened without his knowledge, of course, because he was just the donor, but these kids were able to petition the records with the sperm bank and find out who the donator was. And now all of these kids want back into his life. Now, here's the complication. Ben has a fiance.
Right.
They're about to get married. She did not know about his money-making plans from the past.
Isn't the sperm bank supposed to keep that secret?
So how do you break the news to your fiance that you have 20 kids running around there in the world?
Hey, you know how you think I have no kids?
Yeah. Turns out I have, well, more than that.
More than none.
To the tune of 20. Fascinating story. Everybody's talking about it.
You should be allowed to not have them contact you if that's your choice.
It would be obligatory. It would have to be mandatory. I wouldn't donate otherwise.
Yeah, there's a whole movement about trying to make that public, but then you're supposed to be able to opt out.
Huh.
It's very murky.
It is murky. Very murky. Here's the thing. I love the internet as much as the next person.
Right.
I'm the next person.
I do not think that everything on the internet should be a television show. Right. Haven't we learned from S, my dad says? Didn't we learn from that? That maybe not every Twitter account, not every blog, not every YouTube video has maybe long-term potential.
What now?
Disney has announced, due to the success of several internet blogs that are reportedly written by someone's dog, that they are putting together a TV series called Dog with a Blog. About a dog who writes a blog about his life and his family.
Now, it's Disney. That's a great sound effect, Bean. Now, it's Disney, so they're shooting way young, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Still no.
No. Here's the thing. Disney is ABC. ABC is Disney. I don't know to what level they're going to put it. They're going to put it on Disney Channel? Or is it just Disney, the studio, developing this series for primetime? But either way,
we don't
need a dog writing a blog.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
Yes, and they're writing blogs. More things we don't need. Just announced Fox, 20th Century Fox, will be making a movie about legendary frontier cowboy Wyatt Earp.
Okay?
No, it's not okay.
It's not okay?
We have Tombstone. That's all we need. That's all we need when it comes to Wyatt Earp movies. We got it. We got it covered. Remember when Costner made his Wyatt Earp? Remember that?
Sure.
No. We don't need another of that. We don't need. We're good. We're all full up on Wyatt Earp, thanks. Move along. Nothing to see here. And congratulations. Elton John opened his $1 million piano show Wednesday night at Caesar's Palace. It is... people are going crazy for it. Just smashed hit. Vegas is a Twitter.
Vegas has a Twitter?
No. Just saying. I'm just wondering, what kind of guy goes to an Elton John show? I'm just wondering, who's out there buying tickets this day and age to go see Elton John playing his million-dollar piano? He's got a piano that could cost $1 million to make.
What a loser.
People are lining up to get tickets. What kind of people are they, in this day and age, are getting Elton John tickets and going to see that in Vegas? Anyone in the room want to raise a hand? Anyone want to volunteer?
I'll raise a hand.
Would anyone like
to
share?
Good. Let me raise a hand.
Okay.
I'll raise a hand. Despite what you're implying, I think that there's an audience for any of those classic rock artists, people who had lots of hit records in the 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
have a built-in audience. I mean, people are always going to go see, you know, the Eagles. People are always going to go see, you know, Bon Jovi. Whoever it is, classic rock artists always do well in a place like Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going next week.
Anyone else want to share? Oh, I'm sorry. What was that again?
What?
I didn't hear that. What was it? I'm sorry.
I don't think
me?
I said anything
can
out loud.
Can you turn up Kevin's mic a little bit? He just mumbled something. I don't think we could have heard. No, can you turn up? I turned the microphone up. Up, up.
Oh, up.
Up, yeah.
I'm going next week.
I saw him at the Palladium last year.
He's got a lot of good songs, right, guys?
He does.
He's a legitimate act to go see in concert. I wouldn't, but I can see why people would.
I'm not the driving force behind the effort to go to Vegas and see this, however.
Well, look.
You do what you got to do.
Did you leave your balls in the other car, too? Or is it just the wallet and the money? I'm just wondering.
Balls as well.
Hold on a second. Why? How can you go see Billy Joel and rave about it and come down on anyone for going to see Elton John? What's the difference?
When have I seen Billy Joel and raved
you
about it?
You saw Billy Joel.
In 1985, I saw Billy Joel.
No, in the last couple of years, saw Billy Joel. Does that sound familiar to you, Kevin? Doesn't it sound familiar to you that he went to see Billy Joel?
Well, maybe he was just talking about how much he likes him or something. I don't know. I don't remember.
Last time I saw Billy Joel, I lived in Philadelphia.
All right. Take it easy. I'm going. All right, I'm going.
Okay, I think we get it. And the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil tour is opening up in Montreal on Sunday. The new Cirque du Soleil show dedicated to the music of Michael Jackson. It's called the Immortal World Tour. And it's all Michael's music, all Michael-based, all Michael. Michael.
Immortal seems like a poor choice of words, because it clearly wasn't.
It was supposed to open about 6 months ago, but Dr. Conrad Murray killed those plans. So.
Did he?
Yeah. he stepped in.
Where's the show happening, Ralph? Where did you say?
Montreal.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Can't help yourself. Can't do it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch is 57 years old today. Fran Drescher turns 54. Eric Stoltz celebrates his 50th birthday. Monica Bellucci is 47 years old. Tony Hale from Arrested Development fame is 41. Jenna Elfman is 40. Marion Cotillard.
Bonkers.
She's not. She does not have bonkers eyes.
A little bit.
36 years old today. Kieran Culkin is 29. And rapper T-Pain celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Friday means a bunch of things on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Ralph with the movie beat in moments. Also, LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore. That's coming up. And we're just ahead of another exciting NFL weekend, number 4 this time around. And Jimmy's cousin Sal joins us on the phone like he do. Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
Yes, fellas. What's happening?
Good to talk to you. I know we're going to talk... I'm sorry. I was getting an echo there. I know we're going to talk about football, but I just have to ask, is your friend Bill Simmons, and I know you post on his Grantland blog, which is so excellent, is he hanging from a rope after the Red Sox collapse, or is he going to be okay?
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. He traditionally goes for a long walk with his dog every time there's a meltdown game like we had this week with the Red Sox.
And by long walk, you mean like 2-3 days?
Yeah, they're rounding Barstow right now. They have a lot of steam in them. But you know what stinks with these Red Sox fans? They're like, ever since 2004, they're like, you know, nothing really bothers them. Maybe it does, but at least they can come back on that and say, well, we're all right. We have 2004. We have another 15 years of misery before it starts to sink in again.
Sure. That's good. I'm glad they're keeping it in perspective because, yeah, you can't bitch all the time if you've won 2 titles in the last 9 years. You're right about that. All right, let's turn our attention to football. Which football team's fans should be worried at this point that the season is not going as good as they might hope?
Maybe the Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
You know what? With the Colts, why wouldn't they just sign Brett Favre for the year? I mean, you know, it's looking like Peyton Manning, no matter what their record is at the 10-12 games in, they're going to shut him down. So I would bring Brett Favre in if I'm a Colts. Have fun with that. I think the Vikings are in trouble. Maybe, and you mentioned them last week, maybe it's time for quarterback change. That guy Ponder from Florida State could come in. And then there are just some teams, even though they won last week, I think like the Seahawks or not, I think there were 4 division winners from last year who were settled in last place right now. So it's very interesting. The Chiefs, of course.
I was encouraged by the Seahawks. I know they're not going to have even a winning season possibly this year, but I thought it was a dramatic improvement last year with Tavares Jackson to see some of that no-huddle offense a little bit. He just seemed a lot more comfortable and was making a lot more smart choices than he had in the first 2 weeks.
They were better last year. It's always nice with that division because you could play half a season and win it by default. So, I mean, you can win 6 or 7 games, go 6-10, 7-9. So if they get on a little hot streak within the division, maybe something could happen. But I don't know. I don't think they're long for this season.
Now, Sal on Fridays gives us his 3 picks against the line. How did you do last week, Sal, and how are you overall this year?
Well, I got to say, with you guys, I was 2-1 with my best bets. I think I was at the week before, too. 13-3 against the spread overall. I mean,
all right.
I want you guys to call me Flea because, like a chili pepper, I am red hot.
You had the Chargers last week. That was the one you missed, unfortunately, right? And there were a lot of points involved in that, if I recall.
Yes, they didn't really show up. I don't know what happened with that. I bet against the Chiefs, which seemed like a good thing to do.
But, you'd think, right?
Well, they had like 33 yards at half, the Chiefs, and they were still in the game. So I knew something was wrong. But, yeah, who did I have? I had the Panthers. That was an ugly game last week over, I can't even remember who they
Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. And my other winner... It was pretty good.
It was Oakland over the Jets, which was very impressive.
I've given you 2 upsets in a row. But this week, I think I like Ralph's Eagles over the Niners. I think it's a good bounce-back game for them. They're frustrated. On paper, they're the best team in the NFC East. They're stuck in last place. Michael Vick's all set to play. He says he's 100% going to play, but I think he's just being cautious. I say it's about 115%.
Really? It could be more than 100?
Yes, these guys downplay these situations.
Huh. All right.
And he's got like a busted or bruised right hand, which is his throwing hand, his left hand, but it's still bad news because you always talk to any obedience school. They'll tell you you always want to drown your pit bulls using your off hand. So.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Wow. That's true.
I like that you're keeping that alive. Good work.
Of course.
All right, so you got Eagles over the 49ers with the 7-point spread. What else?
Yeah, 26-10 Eagles minus 7. I've been in New York with you guys, and you know that game you play on the street with the ball under the cup? It's called Three Card Monty.
Yep, of course, yeah.
Right, and you watch it like 10 times. You follow the ball and from afar, and you could tell which cup the ball is going to end up every time. And then some homeless shyster ends up taking you for $500 because there's a trick involved. We've watched the Bills play great for 3 weeks. Bills-Bengals is a three-card Monty game. The Bills are only giving 3.5 points to the cruddy Bengals. Why wouldn't you take the Bills? Because it's a trap. Stay away from Buffalo this week. Stay away from Buffalo in general. There's nothing good happening in that city.
So you're saying the one team that is strangely on fire, you're picking against.
Yes.
All right.
I agree. I'm going Cincinnati. They have a stingy defense. The young quarterback doesn't make mistakes. The Bills had their Super Bowl last week. They're still hungover. It's a trap. The Bengals pull off the upset 20-16.
20-16.
This is going to be fascinating to watch and see if your psychology works. All right. So we got the Eagles over the 49ers. We got the Cincinnati over Buffalo. Last game you want to do is Bears-Panthers.
All right. You know, I don't know if I'm overvaluing Cam Newton's Panthers or I'm just down on Chicago. The Bears, mysteriously, they have no running game. They can't protect their quarterback. They give up 5 or 6 sacks last week, a bunch throughout the preseason. Carolina's got it together. Their offense doesn't make mistakes, and they've better athletes on their team right now. I'm giving you my 3rd upset special in as many weeks. Carolina edges Chicago 23-21.
It is. I have some friends who are Bears fans, as do you. I know, Sal. It has been a tough season for them to watch this team that they had so much high hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it all went to crap when Oprah left. You see, the whole thing.
That's true. You can trace it right back to that moment.
You can read Sal's blog at grantland.com, run by the great Bill Simmons. Also see the weekly picks at jimmykimmellive.net. Sal, always a pleasure. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We'll do it again next time.
Thank you, fellas. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. The genius behind Family Guy, Cleveland Show, American Dad, Ralph, your good friend, Seth MacFarlane, joins us coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's talking about his new music album available for download this week.
Yes.
Is there nothing this guy can't do?
No.
Nothing?
No. He's got his first feature film coming out next year.
Unbelievable.
Movie Ted.
That's on the way here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now, though. Speaking of movies, here's Ralph with the movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
We got a passel of new movies opening up this weekend.
What's a passel?
I'm bringing passel back.
What is passel?
It's a bunch.
Okay.
It's a passel.
A passel of new movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Starting off with a documentary that's in limited release. I think this weekend it's just New York and Los Angeles, but it should be opening up wider in selected cities. It's called Sarah Palin, You Betcha, by legendary documentary maker Nick Broomfield. He has traveled to Alaska in order to trace the origins of Sarah Palin's political career. And by all accounts, it is informative and entertaining. So you may want to check that out this weekend. Also opening up this weekend, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Our buddy Tyler Labine, Alan Tudyk, great cast in this film. Tucker and Dale are two guys. They're hicks, but they're just on vacation in their mountain cabin when a bunch of preppy college kids who are vacationing in the woods come across them and naturally believe, because they've seen a bunch of horror movies, that these two guys are redneck hillbilly killers.
Sure.
And it turns out to just be a series of misunderstandings, but one by one the college kids start dying with no responsibility under Tucker and Dale, but you can't help it. You got to think it's them because they're rednecks and they're in a cabin in the woods.
That's all it takes.
Here is some clips we edited together from the trailer to Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
What am I doing here?
Fell into the water. Dove in and rescued you. We'll go find your friends. You should relax. Tucker and Dale are on the case.
What is this place?
It's just a cabin. It doesn't mean they're psycho killers.
Then why don't you go in there and talk to them?
All right. Maybe I will.
Ah! Oh, no. Nothing scary happened there. It's a comedy.
How awesome is Tyler Labine, though?
He's great. Great.
The director, by the way, is Sally Field's son. I read that the other day.
Well, there you go.
That's not interesting.
You don't think so?
Is if you watch Brothers and Sisters. Dream House.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
Dream House opens this weekend. Now, here's the director, Jim Sheridan, legendary Irish director, brings together an amazing cast, Daniel Craig, Rachel Weisz, Naomi Watts.
Wow.
The story of a family who moves into a quaint New England town, and the home that they purchase, well, it turns out that a mother and her two children were murdered there.
Oh, just that?
Everyone thinks the husband was the killer, but Daniel Craig becomes obsessed with the story, starts to dig a little deeper, and discovers a more even disturbing story behind the murders. By all accounts, this is a terrifying psychological thriller. Great, great cast. Here's a scene from Dream House where Rachel Weisz, who plays Daniel Craig's wife in the film, has some doubts about this new house they just moved into.
I just knew we shouldn't have moved out of the city.
Yeah, but don't say that.
I knew that this wasn't going to last.
What?
This! There's something wrong with this house.
No, there isn't. We'll do whatever it takes, okay? We'll hire a priest.
Hire a priest? Where'd you do that?
It's a whole witch doctor, whatever. I don't know. We'll feng shui the place. It's our house.
But it's been tainted with murder!
Do you guys believe in bad vibes, bad juju, karma, whatever you want to call it, in
Why
a house that you move into?
Why do you have to pick on the Jews? Why do you have to be so anti-Semitic? No,
juju.
Bad Jews.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I'm asking you if you believe that that stuff lingers in a house if something bad happened in that house and therefore you would not live in it.
Do I personally? No. Would I see a movie about it? Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel that there's no way you could be comfortable moving into a house knowing that a triple murder had taken place in it.
That's possible, too.
But it's just walls and a ceiling. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with what went on in the room. It doesn't affect what's left.
Says the guy who's killed people in his own house.
Yeah, right. A house is more warm for Bean. More warm and inviting when there has been a murder in it.
Look, I'm doing a radio show on top of 12 bodies right now. It doesn't bother me a bit.
Searches them out.
I think that whatever you think is real. So if you're moving into a house and you know people have been murdered in there, that cannot help but affect how you feel when you're in that house. When you are on certain locations, if you go to ground zero, you can't help but feel the energy of what happened at that spot. At that time.
But you saw that. This is something that you're being told something's killed there, the whole thing.
Would that be okay with you? If you knew a mother and her two children were murdered in the house where you're going to bed every night, that wouldn't affect how you feel when you're in that house.
I wouldn't love it. but if I loved everything else about the house, I don't think I would.
And it's probably cheaper because of what happened, and that's a bonus.
I don't think I would not move in.
You enjoy living there. Right. I would not be able to live in some place where there had been a triple murder that took place.
You're probably representative of more people.
That would
than
affect
I am.
My enjoyment of that location,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Also opening up this weekend, what's your number? Romantic comedy with Anna Faris, Chris Evans, Zachary Quinto. Good cast. Anna Faris plays a woman who realizes, she reads one of these articles in Cosmo, one of these type magazines, that says a woman who has had over 20 sexual partners in their lifetime has a harder time finding a husband than women who have under 20.
Really?
And so she realizes that she's a little over 20.
Yeah. No wonder Lisa's not married.
So she's got to go back.
I was thinking the same thing.
She's got to go back and sift through those guys because she believes somewhere in there is her husband, is the guy she should be
with.
Oh,
she just missed it the first time along the way?
Right, so she's going back and reconnecting with all her old boyfriends to find out what's going on with those guys. While she is reconnecting with her old romances, she runs into Chris Evans, who, I don't think there's any, if you've seen the trailer, I don't think there's any surprise that these two probably hook up together in the end. I love Anna Faris. I think she's real talented. She's one of those people who can elevate a movie with her charm. Here's some scenes from What's Your Number? Anna Faris doesn't want to raise your number.
You don't want to raise your number. That's why you won't sleep with me. I don't know why girls care so much about the number anyway.
You guys all have this ideal girl in your minds. And if our number gets too high, we can't be that girl.
The ideal girl. Tell me about it.
You know, you can take her home to the family. She's smart, but not smarter than you. And she bakes apple pies with your mom.
What kind of guy cares about how many people you slept with anyway?
Decent guys.
Chris Evans is not a decent guy in this film. I like the number high. Give me a big high one. Yeah.
The answer is to figure out if the guy likes it high or low and then just lie, make it that.
Oh, Kevin.
That's the answer.
Oh.
Like if you're Lisa, you don't want to give thousands. You want to say, okay, maybe 100.
Always lie.
Always lie.
So you're just living in your death house, lying to everybody you're in a relationship with. That's where you are today.
You know I like to have my head in the sand. You know that.
I do know that.
Fine with it.
And lastly, 50-50 comes out today. We've been talking about this movie a lot this week. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a guy who is diagnosed with spinal cancer, and he's got to work with his best friend Kyle, played by Seth Rogen, to get through it, and they do so with humor and with friendship. A funny film that also has a big, big heart. Here is a scene from 50-50.
I'm going to throw up.
Don't throw up. You're going to be fine.
I actually think I'm going to throw up.
No, you're not going to throw up.
I'm going to throw up.
No, open your eyes.
What kind of cancer is it? What's the name of the cancer?
Some rare kind of cancer.
What's it called?
Schwannoma. I knew this.
Schwannoma?
Schwannoma.
It's Schwannoma? What's Schwannoma?
That means tumor, basically.
Chances. So. What are your odds?
I don't know. I mean, I looked it up and it said 50-50, but that's like the internet, so.
It's not that bad. 50-50. If you were a casino game, you'd have the best odds.
This movie looks great. You can check it out this weekend along with all the others. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, you hit on a relative.
Yeah, we're not proud of that one, but...
Hey, we didn't do it. You did.
It turns out it happens. First, though, it's always a thrill for us to welcome our friend Seth MacFarlane back to The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him as the genius behind all those great Sunday night shows on Fox. Plus, as Ralph just mentioned, feature film called Ted coming out next year that Ralph is in, and his new CD available in stores for download right now is called Music is Better Than Words. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth MacFarlane here on the phone.
Hey there.
Hey, Seth. Seth, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing great. We want to talk about the record. I love the record. But first, we promised a friend of yours, Mr. Penn Jillette, when he was in our studio last hour, that we would say hello to you from him.
Say hello to Penn.
Can't. And also,
can't. He's gone.
He's already gone. He was first, and then you're second. But also, we wanted to play a little piece of this tape from our interview with Pam. We think you'll enjoy it.
The great thing about knowing that you're going to see Seth is that every woman you know says, you know, if you want to give Seth my phone number,
right,
feel free to. You know, I think he is the most eligible of women I talk to. The person they want most is Seth MacFarlane. Please give every inch of my love to Seth.
So there's that warm greeting.
Did you hear that, Seth?
Yes.
You're just speechless. So
I love Penn Jillette alternates between saying the kindest things and just ripping into me for my liberalism.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah.
Well, he may have been kidding then, you're saying.
He is the most honest man in show, but I love that guy.
Oh, awesome. I do, too.
I genuinely think he's fantastic.
Well, he feels the same about you. He was very affectionate in his words. But, I mean, we all get the impression, Seth, that you're young, good-looking, and possibly wealthy, funny. You're walking down the street, and women are throwing probably not only their phone numbers, but their bras and panties at you everywhere you go, right?
You know, really, really not true. You flatter me, sir.
But,
you know, I operate just like anyone else. I success, failure. I'm You know, familiar with both.
Hey, Seth, but if somebody says, hey, do women throw their panties at you, you just say yes.
Yeah.
Look, all Seth has to do in any situation is do the Stewie voice, and he's got them. I mean, what woman wouldn't melt, right?
What woman can resist a possibly gay infant?
That's correct.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about your passion. I listened to the record a bunch this week because I bought it the day it came out, Seth, so you did get my $9.99. I just want you to know.
Thank you.
I listened to the record a lot, and I thought, what's driving Seth? Obviously, the passion for this style of music, for the Great American Songbook, the passion that you have, and the fact that you're rich enough to get anything done in the world that you want to make done. I mean, you basically can do whatever you want. You could have gone to the moon if you wanted, but you chose to make this album instead. How come?
Yes, I think even I could not have gone to the moon. That's how bad our space program is right now. We need to get on that. I did a variety show for Fox that with Alex Borstein, and we it was a combination of music and comedy. We had the Family Guy Orchestra there on stage with us, and there were a few songs, and so Universal Republic Records came to me after it was over and said, hey, would you like to do a record with us? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? And they said, okay, what kind of record do you want to do? And I said, well, if you're leaving it up to me, you know, I mean, everything that I do is comedy, and I'm also a huge fan of the pop vocal and orchestral jazz recordings of the, you know, 50s and early 60s. Yeah,
and they
said
seriously.
Something like that. And they said, all right. And so I called Joel McNeely, the composer arranger who works on American Dad, and we just jumped into it, and it was a pure passion project. I have no idea how it's going to do, but it's probably the most fun I've ever had working on something.
Well, I imagine you got to feel like it's a dream come true. Kid in a candy store, pick your cliche. If you're standing there in a suit at Capitol Records, looking at an orchestra as you sing live in that beautiful room, you have to feel, oh my God, I've died and gone to heaven. It's probably worth putting in the time just to have that memory, I imagine.
Oh yeah. No, it was a blast. I mean, it's obviously a ton of history in that room, and to be in there with an orchestra that good is fun as all hell.
But you're a businessman, and you're a guy who has his pulse on the pop culture right now. You know this is economic suicide, this album, right? I mean, you're aware of that.
It could be. Hey, it's not my money, man.
But for people, and there are a lot of them, I'm one of them who loves the Great American Songbook, loves these songs. For people who go out and buy a Harry Connick album or a Michael Bublé album or any number of other people who do work like that, they would love your record. And as you point out, it's dead serious, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the beauty of it is that it's serious is a delicate word because, that music is very, it's all very light by nature. And so it never takes itself 100% seriously, but, you know, obviously the orchestrations are phenomenally put together by Joel. But the style of music itself is very much what we've been doing on Family Guy for 12 years, including the cancellation period.
Sure.
So for that reason, it's a departure, but not really.
Right. Kevin, what clip do you have? We want to play something for people who can't imagine what it would be like to hear Seth MacFarlane sing these songs from the new Music is Better Than Words. What do you have?
Two Sleepy People. Who?
Oh, this is beautiful. This is the first single, right, Seth, with you and Miss Norah Jones?
That's correct.
All right, here you go.
Mama just killed a man.
I don't, that's not...
Put a gun against his head.
Different. Kevin, that's...
Pulled
different.
My trigger. Now he's dead.
I think that's the Shatner album. You're...
It's different. I'll give him that. I mean,
that's not
like
Seth. No, no, no.
Just begun.
What? Seth, I think that's the Shatner album, Seth. That's not you, right?
You're not disappointed. I was like, oh, if he plays the actual record, it's going to be a real disappointment. You, sir, just passed the comedy test. Really?
There you go.
All right. Fantastic. Here's the actual song.
Two sleepy people who know very well
they're too much in love to break the spell.
Seth, is it okay if I really love and watch every one of your TV shows and don't buy the album?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, man. By the way, is that the first time a glockenspiel has ever been heard on your morning show?
I'm going to guess yes. It's very likely. Very likely. Wow. Look, there's a certain kind of lady that you can have sex with if you put this album on when you bring her back to your house. I want to just say, if there's any way to sell a record, that's how to sell it.
Music, the kind that calls me young man.
Music is Better Than Words is available for download in stores now. I love it. I recommend it. Seth MacFarlane is the artist. And, of course, check out all of his shows Sunday nights on Fox. Seth, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too, you guys.
Thank you. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin Bean Show for Friday. What's going on?
Quick email before I get to the Showbiz news. This email, the subject line is, you are a genius, as a lot of emails that get that came sent to me.
That came to you.
Are entitled, Ralph, because of you, I bought Eggies.
Oh,
and you know
on.
What? It worked?
Nope.
I have eaten two awesomely hard-boiled eggs and didn't have to spend hours peeling, so thank you, sir. Next, the perfect meatloaf, Edna. Thank you, Edna, for seeing the vision that I hold for the future of America.
All Ednas are over 80 years old,
where
by the way.
All of our lives are made simple by modern technological breakthroughs like the Eggie and the perfect meatloaf. Now, if you just get the RoboStir, you will be well on your way to living in a futuristic age like the Jetsons.
If Edna is really over 80, and you know those are the type of ladies I like, I am going to her house the next time I'm in L.A., and I'm going to have her show me how to make the Eggies work, because I struggled with it, man. I tried hard.
She can school you.
She will have thrown it out by then.
It's going to be George Clooney.
Always.
He's got that palace of his in Lake Como, Italy, you know? So Marissa Tomei, who's in this new movie, Ides of March, with him, said they premiered the film at the Venice Film Festival, so George had the entire cast stay with him at the Palazzo, and then they bust it down to Venice for the film festival. And when they say bus, I'm assuming it wasn't like a VW microvan. I'm assuming it was probably a high-end sort of tour bus.
Like a tour bus, yeah.
But then he brought them all back, and they partied into the night, and he told a story where Walter Cronkite was once visiting his house, and Walter, after a couple shots, decided to jump into his pool in his tuxedo.
What?
Madman that Walter Cronkite is. Nutcase Walter Cronkite kidding everybody, jumped in the water in his tux.
Like straight newsman number one for 40 years or something.
So Marissa said the only thing she could think about to top that story, to create a new story, would be to strip down nude and go skinny dipping in the pool.
That's what I was hoping she would come to the conclusion of.
And so that's what happens at George Clooney's house.
Is Marissa Tomei is naked in your pool.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent!
Yeah, that's strong.
Ashton Kutcher, he's got some problems. Sure, he's a huge star. Got a new TV show that's doing very, very well for itself. However, there is a 23-year-old girl named Sarah Lille who is shopping around her story of her night of hot, passionate sex that she had with Ashton recently down there in San Diego at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oops.
She is looking for $250,000. From the tabloids to tell her story. But as of yet, hasn't received an offer quite that high from the media outlets. Insiders say she's willing to have Ashton pay that much money just to keep the story quiet.
Bitch got no class.
Which is nice of her, I think. This, of course, problematic for Ashton because he is married to Demi Moore. And there has been some curious tweeting going on back and forth between the two of them. They did not celebrate their anniversary together this year.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying possibly because they're working on separate coasts, but possibly because there's trouble in the marriage. But nothing's ever easy, man. Nothing is ever easy.
He's got 99 problems, but a bitch is about three or four of them.
There you go.
Apparently, in
a large
case.
Percentage.
Yeah. I know he's a creative and original comedic genius, Ashton Kutcher, but did you see what his tweet was, one of his oblique tweets was about this situation that's unfolding around him, Ralph?
I did not.
He tweeted the old, if you assume, you make an ass of you and me. That was his tweet.
See?
Like, that was his comment on, hey, don't think you know what's going on.
From the creative mind of Ashton Kutcher.
Exactly. Come on.
And Ty Burrell of Modern Family, maybe one of my favorite people on the planet. He's so good on that show.
It's a great show.
And apparently, he's quite the good time in real life as well. New York Post reports he was recently at a nightclub with some folks and ordered a bottle of champagne for the table. Picked up the tab, which was very kind. The cocktail waitress came up to him and said, do you need anything else besides the champagne, sir? He said, yes. I need a hot air balloon, some go-go dancers, sparklers, and a private performance by the Cirque du Soleil. She looked at him befuddled, and
I'll
everyone
right
else
back.
At the table thought it was very funny. But that's clever.
Today's you know what? Respect. That's a baller move.
It is. It is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. T-Pain, 27 years old. Today, Kieran Culkin is 29. Marion Cotillard is 36 years old. Jenna Elfman celebrates her 40th birthday. Tony Hale, from Arrested Development fame, is 41. Monica Bellucci is 47 years old. Eric Stoltz turns 50. Barry Williams of the Brady Bunch. He was Greg on that show for many seasons. Actually, it wasn't that many seasons. It just seems like it because it's been reruns forever. He's 57 years old. And actress Fran Drescher is 54 years old today. Fran Drescher, of course, you know her from The Nanny on TV, but she had a couple movies as well. She had a movie called The Beautician and the Beast. I remember that. And it seems like just yesterday she was on the red carpet and Bean was hosting and he stopped her for a little interview. It went something like this.
The makeover of the night on the red carpet. Fran Drescher joining us up here. You know, we were talking as you were coming up that you've done a movie with Pierce Brosnan before, The Beautician and the Beast. Did you ever imagine he'd end up being a James Bond?
I didn't. Pierce Brosnan was not in Beautician and the Beast.
Really?
I think I'm going to get back on the line.
Bitch got no class.
Just saying. Google, right?
That happens to me all the time. It never happens to Bean. That's so sweet.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, not that I'm in any way trying to rush through the weekend, but looking ahead toward Monday's show, Morgan Spurlock is going to be back. Great documentary filmmaker with a new ESPN show. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Andrew Siciliano will recap this weekend's NFL action. And the beautiful Odette Yusman. Well, formerly Odette Yusman. Now she's got some married names. So if they're still married on Monday, we'll call her by the new name. But that's all happening Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First.
Yes. Who's in the background, LaQuisha? Who's at the hair salon with you?
Is that just you laughing at
you
us?
You two ain't got it going on.
We have never had
it going on. Come on, LaQuisha.
You got problems.
You've been listening to this show for a long time. You know how bad it is. Come on.
Keep a job.
We don't know.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
If I had customers coming into my hair salon, the Afro Roman Empire, by the way, you want to come down and get your hair cut. If you came down and sat in my chair, and I cut off a piece of your ear and shaved half your head and made you look like hell, I would lose my job.
Right.
I would no longer have a career.
Uh-huh. We have no defense.
Day in and day out, you two are bad.
Yes.
Horrible.
Agreed.
Sometimes, dare I say it, unlistenable.
And yet, you continue to go on and on.
We're not proud of us.
However, Fridays, we do have one bright spot on every week's show when you join us to talk about the previous night's Jersey Shore episode at MTV. Now, we're at least 80 episodes into this season, right?
Yes, we are, into the miniseries that is the Jersey Shore in Florence, Italy. And now, it's just, I'll tell you, it's getting all kinds of dramatic because you may remember last week, Snooki's boyfriend from Jersey, Gianni, shows up in Italy, spends 24 hours there, can't stand her, and leaves because they're out at a nightclub, and she picks up her skirt and starts grinding her butt and her cuca in her underwear all around the table so everybody can see. He gets mortified with embarrassment, storms off, leaves the country. And she is so upset. She cannot understand why her boyfriend would leave her like this.
Gianni left. I get it, like, I'm a lot to handle, and I do up, but to fly all the way to Florence and just leave me, it's just like, really?
Yes, really!
How did she get a boyfriend in the first place? Come on!
I do not understand how she does not understand why a man would leave her. Well, Snooki does what any girl would do when her heart is broken. She sits at home, gets herself some ice cream, turns on one of her favorite movies. Oh, no, wait a minute. She goes out by herself in the middle of the day and gets drunk in a bar and starts dancing in the middle of a bar where there's no music and no dancing going on.
Sweet.
And then yells at the other customers who are looking at her like she's crazy.
Want to hear the story? Okay, so I flew my boyfriend out here to be with me, and he left me. So I'm miserable right now. So I came here to drink, and that's what I'm doing. So don't look at me like a weirdo. I'm heartbroken. So let me dance.
Oh my God. She sounds heartbroken.
She's the best.
How did Italy not declare war on us after we sent these people over there? I wouldn't blame them.
We didn't all send them. It's MTV.
Well, somebody's got to be responsible.
Yeah.
Now, Snooki's not the only one with problems this week. Dina, the other whore, she is also concerned because she realized that she's not feeling so well over there in Italy.
The whole time I've been here, like, I've been emotional and stuff, and, like, I feel like that's, like, signs of, like, being pregnant. I haven't told anyone yet, but I missed my period.
Oh, here we go.
Oh no.
Here we go.
We haven't sterilized those people?
No, we have not.
Well, what? Whose job is that? Let's get on it.
So they're in the nightclub, and Dina starts telling everybody she thinks she's pregnant. And so J-Wow, and who thought that J-Wow would be like the smartest person on Jersey Shore?
Not difficult.
Years ago, I would not have guessed that, but she's like the voice of reason on this show. Mm-hmm. She says, look, we're going to go now. We're going to go to an all-night drugstore, get you a pregnancy test, going to take it just so you know one way or the other because you're driving everybody crazy with this stuff. So he pulls, she literally pulls her out of the nightclub, walks over to the drugstore to get one of them home pregnancy tests.
We're going to have to go over one, Vlad. If I'm pregnant, I'm just... No, you're not... No, you don't get it. Like, I'll slip my wrist.
Oh, come on, pregnancy! Come on, pregnancy!
Who knew you could root for pregnancy so much?
Pregnancy!
Now, I don't know if they show this on the program, LaQuisha, but Dina has to be trying to figure out who the father is, but could she even narrow it down to between a few guys or no?
Apparently, it was some guy she slept with just before she left for Italy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So somebody back in the States.
Could have been any of hundreds.
Right. There was like the lottery last night. Everybody watching this episode. Like everybody holding a losing ticket, waiting to see if their numbers came up or not. But luckily, she was not pregnant. Turns out she was not pregnant.
Thank God.
Snooki still got heartaches, still got problems.
Sure.
Talking to her boyfriend Gianni on the phone, she realizes it's not her. It's him. He's the problem. He's the reason she makes her feel so bad because he will not let her be herself.
I don't want to talk right now. You're making me feel really upset.
No, we're going to talk this over.
No, I don't want to talk to you because you're like, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. You make me feel like a bad person. Stop. Because you're making me really depressed. This whole time, I'm depressed because of you. And I'm not being myself, so thank you. I don't know. I'm asking myself that question right now.
What do you mean you're not being yourself? You're drunk 7 days a week. You're hooking up with girls and you're dancing with your underwear. That's not you.
That was so mean.
And so true.
And so true.
Totally accurate.
Gianni. Pregnancy. So now things look bad between Snooki and Gianni. And the situation, he says this is his chance to make his move because he has love in his heart for Snooki.
Snooki, girl, why don't you just, like, break up with your wife and, like, rock that world, girl?
Ew!
I can take care of her better than anybody else can.
That was mean. You don't want Gianni saying that's about you.
Gianni can't take care of her like I can.
I don't feel like Mike's at all in love with Nicole. He is just trying to up someone's relationship and get away with it.
Maybe he just can't resist her, because what man could?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
She's quite a temptress.
She is. Just look at that giant, round, orange head and the purple hair and the bad fake tan and the ugly body. Who can resist that?
And I don't want to hear these guys continue to talking about how the grenades and all this kind of hot chicks and stuff. You want Snooki. That's the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Well, Snooki says, look, I don't feel for you like that. I still love Gianni. I have problems. She leaves the room and situation bears his soul to the other friends in the house, the other housemates, saying how what fond memories he has of the last time they were together in the United States.
So when Nicole was me, right, watching her girlfriend get right, and then
are you kidding me right
no,
now?
No, I'm serious.
And you expect her to be your friend?
No,
why
I'm serious.
Why are you being your friend? You're like saying
that romantic bastard recounting their true love story.
He is smooth.
Snooki, this girl's in pain. She got a man she loves who left her. She got this other situation guy who's trying to come on to her, mm-hmm. unwanted advances. She's got a lot of problems, so she needs to spend some time by herself. Or she needs to crawl in bed with Vinny and have sex with him.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Mere moments later,
what?
Hops into Vinny's bed and
funny.
Says, I want you to me.
Sweet.
And poor Paulie, who's just in the room with them on the other side, no one should have to go through that.
There's a lot of stuff going on in that bed right now. I see the blanket moving up and down. I see Snooki's head popping up for air. We all know what's going down.
Yeah, we do.
Man, oh man.
She is a princess. She is a delicate flower.
if she crawled into your bed and she was the last woman on earth, you'd go, nope.
I have to think that would be the case, yes.
And after she's already done the situation, and Vinny, if you're Polly, you're like, please don't come over here next.
Oh, no, Dina wants to be with Polly. The one who just thought she was pregnant, she comes into Polly's bed. He's like, get the hell out of my bed. So one person has some common sense in that whole place. I'm calling in an airstrike.
You can do that.
I'm doing it. Take them out.
I don't know how you call it an airstrike.
I don't know. I can watch more episode of this for you people.
Well, you got to finish the season. I mean, I'm sure you're excited
about
that.
You better stop paying me,
We'll talk to you next week.
You paid me.
Yeah. All right.
What?
I'm a little bummed out.
Why?
No Red Hot Chili Peppers this hour so far. What's going on?
We'll get to it.
Do we have some coming up?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I looked at the list,
and I can guarantee you.
Actually, yes, Danny California in minutes. Plus, Foster the People and Cage the Elephant on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. I know this happened a while ago, but Ralph made reference to something that was just amazing to me. In his Showbiz Report last week, he was talking about Ryan O'Neill, who I think either won or was nominated for an Academy Award at one time or another. Considered a great actor. Best known maybe today for being Tatum O'Neill, the Oscar-winning actress's father, and also for his longtime relationship with Farrah Fawcett. So when actress Farrah Fawcett died a couple of years ago, Ryan O'Neill goes to the funeral like he does. And here's his quote. I had just put the casket in the hearse, and I was watching it drive away when a beautiful blonde woman comes up and embraces me. This is what Ryan O'Neill tells Vanity Fair. I said to her, you have a drink on you? You have a car? And she said, Daddy, it's me, Tatum.
Yay!
He thought she was a hot chick, Swedish woman, he said, that he'd never met before. And who, as Kevin pointed out off air, who's hitting on chicks at a funeral for your dearly beloved, right?
Your ex, I guess she was his current wife when she died, right?
I don't know if they ever got married, they were together for years.
They were together for decades, right?
So
exactly.
He goes to the funeral and goes, I'm going to get me some strange.
Right.
That's weird.
So that's already weird enough. That's already a creep fest. Now he's hitting on a hot chick that he doesn't recognize as his own daughter. And I guess that they had, Tatum was already at, 16 or something like that when Ryan and Farrah got together. So it's not like they grew up together, but they certainly have seen each other hundreds of times in the years since.
You'd think
he did not recognize
her. That much.
You would think that he would recognize her enough to not hit on her.
Yeah.
To not try to have sex with his own blood.
It's
exactly.
His own daughter. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard. This story must have just flown by me and I didn't, because when I think about it now, I go, this is the greatest story ever.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
It is fairly creepy. And when Ralph brought it up in the Showbiz Report the other day in a story about Ryan O'Neill, we thought, you know what? I don't think we've ever done the phone topic of our listeners who have hit on or been hit on by relatives. And then we thought, well, how often does that happen? That can't be. It certainly can't happen very often where the people don't recognize each other, right?
No. I'm sure that doesn't happen a lot.
But I bet it happens a lot where they meet each other and have an attraction
and
can't do anything about it because they're related, as is the case with our good friend Lisa May.
Yeah, which she brought up. She's like, I was really hot for my cousin. I was like, whoa! And then right after that, Bean said, I was really hot for my cousin. I was like, what?
So, Lisa, you go first, and then we're going to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. Some sort of romantic sparks a-flying between you and relatives. That's
really
what we're going to want to hear about.
My sparks flew one way from me to him. Oh, there were no sparks flying my way.
But had he been interested?
Well, he was quite a bit older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
been attracted to quite a bit older than you.
That's true. But I was probably like 12 or 13.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I just loved him so much, and I wanted to marry him. But, you know, he was a cousin that I saw very rarely. He lived in New Mexico. And
did you understand
what a cousin was? Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't care. Oh,
okay.
He was so dreamy.
Yeah.
Did you revisit that maybe when you got a little bit older and started to develop boobs? Did you maybe try again?
No, I never did. I realized that it was a pipe dream.
Although that's a nicely worded question, Bean.
It also would have been a tough one to break to his parents and yours, right?
Yeah. That probably wouldn't have gone well.
Well, my situation was I was born and raised in my early years in Britain, as many know. And we're living in America now, and I'm 16 years old. And some of my relatives from Britain would come to stay with us in the United States.
Where were you, in the South?
No, we were living in Maryland. In the state, the great state of Maryland. Nope, great state of Maryland.
Mississippi.
And one of my mother's sisters, one of my mother's sister and her husband and their kids came out. And I turned out and I had not met her before or did not remember her because I was much, much younger when I'd met her before. She was 18 years old. And her name was Teresa, and she was brand new to me. I'm 16. She's 18. She's visiting at my house, living under my roof for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
It didn't take me long to fall in love with that. I'll tell you.
Now,
yes.
Did you?
No.
That wasn't what I was going to ask. Because I know there's no way you
would have. Yeah, we'd never have to ask that question.
There's no way you would have closed it. What I'm asking both of you is, did either of you say something about this or let the other cousin know that you were excited? Bean can't have helped himself.
I didn't.
Bean, you had to have said something about how hot. You're so hot. We should take a shower together.
Why don't you sleep in here? My memory is so poor. I mean, it has to be an unbelievably powerful memory for it to have survived this long anyway, because I remember virtually nothing of my younger years. I don't think there was ever even a discussion. I think it was a secret fantasy.
Since I've known you, been able to keep your mouth shut around somebody you find hot.
First of all, how dare you? And second of all, it's possible. It's possible she caught me outside her door. I don't know, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
If she caught you outside her door, then you would probably remember either being embarrassed or invited in. One or the other.
Yeah, I don't think it happened. But anyway, so that's my in love with a first cousin story. Lisa's got hers. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got so many good ones. People who didn't know they were related.
Really?
Chris, Peter, please hang on. We will talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been doing a lot of phone topics on the show over many, many years. I don't believe we've ever done this before, but I think I'm going to enjoy it very much because it has everything I love in it. It has love and romance and a creepy factor. That's my big three.
That is what you love. We've done many, many different phone topics. The phone started ringing a little quicker for this one than most.
Yes, they did.
Creepy.
And that's odd.
We are talking about romance between family members. I don't know how much, incest talk we want to get into here, but the story that kicked it all off was the legendary story now about Ryan O'Neal hitting on his own daughter, Tatum O'Neal, at his ex-girlfriend Farrah Fawcett's funeral. He did not realize that that was her he was hitting on, just thought, hey, it's an attractive blonde. We wanted to find out if that has ever happened to you, and I am surprised to see how many people did not know that they were related. So let's start to Mike. Talk to Mike, for instance, on line two to kind of get us going. 1-800-520-1067. It can be either kind. It can either be you didn't realize you were related when the romance started or it was attempted, or you did and went for it anyway.
They were
Mike,
just too hot. You just didn't have any choice.
What kind of choice do you have, right? Mike, welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Really quick story. A bunch of friends and I, we went to a strip bar in Los Angeles, and there was this beautiful stripper. And she was hot, and she was on the stage, and she had this little kitty cat mask on, and me and my friends were dressed up as a Hollywood, I was dressed up as Michael Myers, and they were all dressed up as, like, Freddy Krueger. So anyways, to make a long story short, I was just, like, throwing money at her, and we got really frisky, and she got really friendly with me, not even knowing who I was. After she was finished dancing, she comes down to the stage, and we start talking, and just before we're going to get busy, I removed my mask. And she just looks at me all stunned, and I'm like, what happened? And then when she takes it off hers, it was my cousin, my first cousin.
That you knew well, right?
Oh, I was shocked, and from there, it just deflated. And
of course!
Like,
that's bad surprise right there. You're thinking, I'm going to get lucky, I'm going to get lucky, oh my God, it's you. Wow, how was she?
Oh, she's beautiful, she's still a stripper.
That's not what I meant. All right, thank you, Mike.
Let's try Hawnee. Hawnee, like that's the real name, is on line 7. Apparently, she was the one being hit on by a relative. Hawnee, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, I was on a week-long camping trip with my big family. There was a cousin I had never previously met before who hit on me the entire time. The entire time. He knew we were cousins, too.
So he knew you were cousins, and yet he found you attractive and just wanted to close that deal.
I guess. It got to the point where he was, like, trying to drag me off in the trees and stuff.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. And I literally got to that point where I was like, look, we are cousins. This is sick. You need to stop. And he was like, it doesn't matter.
Okay, Hawnee, let me ask you this question, and I ask with all due respect. What are you, uptight?
No, I just don't do the incest thing. It's a personal
rule.
Don't you guys? Have
you, it's not like brothers and sisters. Come on, cousins. You barely know each other. Right?
How do you know if you don't try, honey?
Exactly.
So all right.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Zach. He's on line three in a similar situation. Zach, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What was this also a first cousin?
Yeah, actually it was. How are you guys doing? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
Hey, so, yeah, what happened was I went over to my grandma's house not knowing what was going on. A bunch of people were over
and
there.
And you hit on her?
Yeah,
not his grandma, Kevin. Come on.
I didn't know. Well, no, like, yeah. Anyway, go on. Found this girl, started hitting on her, talking, the whole thing. About 15 minutes goes by. Grandma comes over. Hey, do you guys know your cousins? I was like, oh, my God. So I backed up off of it. Every time I look at her, she's staring at me, full on, just flirt. You could not get any closer to me.
Really?
She went to dinner. She's playing footsies under the table.
She's just taunting him now.
All right, let me ask you a question. How old were you, Zach?
About 15, 16, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. And she was attractive.
Yeah, she was.
And she was flirting with you, and yep. you turned her down.
Unfortunately, I had to.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. When you're 16,
you think he's lying?
You have very little defenses when you're 16.
But we're hearing
if a woman's coming on to you at 16,
people, you're helpless.
Dude, creeped, I was going on, but,
go no, ahead.
I was hitting on her. I was hitting on her hard, and the whole
right.
thing I was about it until I found out the cousin thing, and that's what kind of sent it over.
See, and even at 15, that was a deal breaker for you. Cousins is no, right?
That's a no.
That's a good story to have changed it to.
But if you guys are interested, I got a good buddy of mine who actually ended up losing his virginity in a threesome with his cousin and then fell in love with his cousin.
Sweet. Oh, wow. Where's the banjo music now? Thank you for the call. Hey, do we have time? I know we don't, but let's take Blake anyway because he did hook up. Let's at least get one call on the air of the many who did hook up with a relative.
By the way,
Blake.
All of the people we've talked to hooked up, they're just not admitting it.
Well, I don't know if that's true. Blake, you're in a hot tub with who?
I was not in a hot tub, actually.
Okay. Where were you?
I was at a wake after a funeral thing.
Well, that's very different than a hot tub.
You guys had a wake in a hot tub?
Go ahead. And, my second cousin, I guess her name was Amanda. I had no clue that she was my cousin. You know, we were related whatsoever. Because I've only met her mother, you know, once ever in my life. And I can't remember her.
Now, what second cousin is what? How far? That's not your parents.
So that's your mom's, like, cousin's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's far enough, right?
Yeah.
All right, technically. You guys did hook up or did not hook up?
We kind of just, like, we're cuddling and stuff, you know?
I feel like this could have been a better story.
No, I think it
Where did the hot tub come in?
It had a big, strong ending, Bean. What are you talking about? He brought it right to a crescendo.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, Lisa May, who, by the way, parks her car on an American flag every night when she goes home.
She does.
After she burns it. Is going to talk about why she hates America. It's reason number 2000 in Lisa May's continuing series of why Al-Qaeda is better than the United States of America. So that's on the way. You definitely don't want to miss that. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Did you see how bummed she was when she heard they took out that guy who was the leader of the Al-Qaeda, the U.S.
born guy?
Yeah, I used to send that guy love letters.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Love letters. You gave him a lot more than that.
And a diagram of the Pentagon, if I remember.
In that training camp when you were there, I remember you gave him a lot more than just letters. Tonight at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our hilarious show, Hollywood Babylon.
Is it Saturday already?
Yeah,
this
no,
is crazy how
Friday.
The week is flying by.
Friday this week. This week it's a Friday.
Oh, this week it's a Friday.
Next week will be Saturday. This week it's Friday, 10 p.m. Come see us at thelovitz.com is where you can get more info and tickets. If you'd like to come out and join us, we'd appreciate it, and I think you'd have a good time. Give it. Congratulations to Mike Myers and his wife, Kelly Tisdale. They have a new baby boy in their lives. Mike's 48 years old. That's quite the undertaking at 48. Yeah. And I think he's a bit of a germaphobe, so everything's well in place for him to be Father of the Year, I think. Bouncing baby boy named Spike. Spike Myers.
That is unusual.
Before he spikes you. That's what I would say to him if I was in school with him.
I've never met a person whose name is Spike. I know I have a friend who's everybody calls him Spike. It's his nickname, but that's not his real name.
Is Spike Lee his real name?
No, I do not believe it is.
Hmm.
Even as a nickname, that's sort of a 1930s throwback.
Sort of,
yeah. Hey, Spike, where you going? Me and the other mugs are going down to hold up the fort.
or a Buffy fan. I can see that. Yeah, but otherwise, so, it's weird.
Hillary Duff celebrated her birthday the other day. And here's the thing. You can't bitch about the paparazzi always being mean to celebrities. Apparently, she was at the veterinarian's office with her Chihuahua Lola. And like anyone we know? Yeah. Chihuahua named Lola. She comes out, and there are the paparazzi waiting for her, snapping away. But then they stop. They lower their cameras. They sing happy birthday to her and give her a bouquet of roses. How sweet is that for the paparazzi? Then they took shots up her skirt.
I was going to say, that's the strangest story I've ever seen.
And sold them on the internet.
You used to be quite hot for Miss Duff, didn't you?
I liked Duff back in the day before she got the giant chiclet teeth.
Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
She's augmented herself to the detriment, I think, of her looks.
And she's married to a hockey player now, is that the...
Yeah, Mike Comrie?
Something like that, yeah.
Holly Madison, former girlfriend of Hugh Hefner, just announced this week she got a Lloyd's of London insurance policy on her boobs for $1 million.
Yeah, I don't think they're that great.
Well, Lisa, she says they are her primary moneymakers.
It's true of all
women. She thought it was a wise investment for her to protect her valuables. She is currently performing topless in the burlesque production of Peep Show in Las Vegas. And she says, look, this is how I make my money, so I got to make sure that they're taken care of. I just wonder how many people I ever have to cash in on the boob policy. Do you get caught in some horrible boob accident?
What happens?
That's a good question.
Are you busy making pasta at home someday, and you get your boob caught in the pasta maker, and you have to cash in, get reconstructive boob surgery? Making sausages at home, get something caught in the meat grinder? What happens? How dangerous is it around your boobs?
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones once said, there's no such thing as a fake boob. They're all real right there. There they are. They're real. I can touch them. I can see them. 20th Century Fox has announced they are making a new Wyatt Earp movie.
All right.
Westerns are white hot right now. Everybody's making a Western.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp movie, much like the Lone Ranger movie, they've announced a big budget for it. $100 billion to make the Wyatt
movie. $100 billion?
Seems like a lot.
Just kidding. No word yet on who's going to play Wyatt Earp.
Justin Bieber.
But the good show, Taylor Lautner.
What a casting, huh?
It is from the same guys who did Cowboys and Aliens. Same screenwriters.
Oh. That was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Ryan Gosling.
That's your audio?
That's a great piece of audio.
That's your audio?
That piece of audio is clipped at both ends, so it kind of sounds bad.
Sounds bad coming and going.
Yeah.
That's not brown rice.
And congratulations to our buddy Chris Carter, who, of course, gave us the X-Files. And that would be enough, I think, if you just created the X-Files.
I agree.
You'd have your place in history cemented. Then he gave us Millennium, another great science fiction
show. Oh, what a great show that was.
Lance Hendrickson.
I like that one.
Then he took some time off, grabbed a surfboard, and just said, I'm going to go away for a while.
He fell off the face of the earth
for
a while.
He did the movie. Did a couple of X-Files movies. They're talking about doing another one. But he's coming back to television. Apparently, he is developing a show as we speak, a police thriller with a female lead that has a supernatural element to it.
Hope it's Whitney Cummings.
Me too. That'd be funny. So I'm glad to see he's back back at work. We got to check in with him. He was always a good guest when we had him on the show. We used to have him quite a bit.
Yeah,
I love him. And what a mellow guy. You could tell he was a surfer. He just had that kind of centered vibe, didn't he?
And the Wu-Tang Clan is getting in business with The Gap. They are working there now, I think. They're all they're selling jeans. Now, the Village Voice newspaper says that Wu-Tang Clan is in a deal with The Gap to sell T-shirts with the band's insignia in all Gap stores.
For Wu-Tang?
You got to know your audience.
What?
That's where you're going to hit them.
That doesn't seem...
$29.95 will buy you a Wu-Tang Clan T-shirt at The Gap. I did not know this, but Gap has been partnered with musicians before. Not usually in its ads... I mean, sorry, usually it's ads, not with their clotheslines. Daft Punk, Willie Nelson, Luscious Jackson, and Common have all been featured in Gap ads over the years. But this is the first time they're selling clothes based on a band. So.
They said, "What is our? Who's the crowd that comes into our store?
They look like Wu-Tang fans.
I'm Wu-Tang."
They say when they walk through the door there, demanding their polos. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Williams of the Brady Bunch, 57 years old today. He was Greg on that show. Eric Stoltz is 50 years old. Remember Mask?
Oh,
what a great film.
And he was, we don't, he doesn't work very often, but how great was he in Kill Bill, too? Remember, he was so good in that.
He's directing quite a bit now. Trey Anastasio of Fish is 47 years old today.
Love him.
Hate him.
I'm getting a lot of emails from Goo Goo Dolls fans that
no,
I didn't mention
not.
That
you're
Robbie Takacs' birthday is today, bassist for Goo Goo Dolls.
You didn't even get one.
47 years old. Why would I bring it up if I wasn't getting emails from
Who's
Goo Goo Dolls?
Who's sending
you
an email about a Goo Goo Doll
Why
birthday?
Would I make a point of bringing it up and then say it, Kevin?
Why would somebody
you think
email
I've been,
you that?
I've been desperate to try to sneak in the Goo Goo Doll birthday?
I just find it hard to believe people care that much about the Goo Goo
you
Dolls
You found
today.
It hard to believe. Imagine I was getting the emails. How did I feel about it? Monica Bellucci is 47 years old today. Tony Hale, very funny actor, is 41. Jenna Elfman is 40. Marion Cotillard, soon to be in the Batman film, The Dark Knight Rises. She's got a role in that. She's 36.
Bonkers.
Her eyes are not bonkers.
A little.
Kevin, they're not even a little. What's wrong with her eyes?
A little bit.
You saw Inception, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
She couldn't have been more beautiful than that movie.
Yes. But her eyes are a little bonkers.
What do you want from me? I want you to realize
bonkers.
Their eyes aren't bonkers.
They're a little
That's
bonkers.
They're not even
they
a little
are.
Bonkers. They're fine eyes. They're beautiful eyes. They're right there where they belong, on either side of her nose, right there in front of her face.
Bonkers.
Kieran Culkin is 29 years old. Rapper T-Pain celebrates his 27th birthday. And Fran Drescher is 54 years old today. You know, I remember as if it was just yesterday.
We actually don't have time this
Bean,
time.
Plenty of time. Bean was on the red
Come
carpet
on, we
with
did it
Brad.
Last time.
He was asking her about her career. Well, Bean knows a lot about her career. I remember he brought up that one film she was in.
The makeover of the night on the red carpet. Fran Drescher joining us up here. You know, we were talking as you were coming up that you've done a movie with Pierce Brosnan before, The Beautician and the Beast. Did you ever imagine he'd end up being a James Bond?
I didn't. Pierce Brosnan was not in Beautician and the Beast.
Really?
I think I'm going to get back on the line.
That is lame.edu.
In Beast defense, I think Timothy Dalton, the other James Bond, was in that film.
That was the confusion,
See?
Yes.
See? Easy mistake to make.
And what do we have to say to her?
I mean, that's a difficult position.
What are you
going
to come up with?
There's Fran Drescher.
Hey, I sure do miss the nanny. My favorite part was, the makeover of the night. You look good.
Right.
Like, as if regularly she just looks like the dog's breakfast.
Which
but
is
now,
what he meant.
Yeah.
And is true.
Yes.
Yeah, I failed on every possible level in that brief piece of tape. There are at least three glaring errors.
She's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Where do we start with Lisa, you guys? I mean, you can't fire somebody for being unpatriotic, can you?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Right.
Plus, I'm not unpatriotic.
Okay. Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not
well,
at all.
So, pooping on the Marines, is that not is that patriotic? Maybe I don't understand it.
I am not pooping on the Marines. I have given and given and
That's
given
true. I
to
verify.
Our men in uniform. I have done more than all of you. Combined, my number would be under 20 if it were not for our fine men in uniform.
All right, well, then
you know
what's
what
wrong
saying?
With this guy? Then just
why
this
don't
guy?
You go to the Marine Corps ball?
I'm pooped. I am too tired to give anymore. That's what I'm,
all right.
I'm going
you know,
to find him a fabulous
In all seriousness, there's all these celebrities
girl.
Who get asked to go to the Marine Corps ball. Justin Timberlake, Mila Kunis, Betty White. Who was the other broad that was
Linda
tweeted?
Hamilton is going to one,
Kristen
I know.
Kristen Cavallari.
That's right. That's right.
Celebrities of certain note, and they, except for Betty White because she's racist, they all said yes. They said, you know what? I'm busy. I'm in a significant relationship. I've got this going on. I'm a movie star. I'm a TV star. But I will put that all aside because you deserve to get what you want, armed service person. I will go to the ball with you.
And the reason
Lisa
we bring
May gets asked, and no, heaven perish the thought, no thank you.
I am creating a better experience for him
That's
than
not
me
what
going
wants.
With him.
That's
you
not
don't
what
know,
the Marine wants.
You have not
wants.
Even read that email.
If he asked you, wouldn't,
Do you,
the, wouldn't you think
hear
that's what he wants?
How he asked? Last time my date crapped out of me and didn't show up. I can't find anyone this year. Would you go with me? It's not that he loves me. He wants a date.
He
and I'm
going to
get
you.
Him a great date.
How
okay.
much
Look,
of a
me
loser
is not
is...
like bringing Mila Kunis. It's just not.
Right, but for him...
No,
he wants
you're
you.
Wrong.
But Lisa, hold on.
Why
Maybe
would
he wanted
ask
to
you if he didn't want to go with
he
you.
He liked the show. He thought it would be fun.
Because he wanted a sure
right.
thing.
He
that's
it
why.
Would be fun. So yeah, then your Bean. Response should be yes.
I'm going to do him much better.
Well it doesn't
that's
sound
what
like
he
it.
Wanted when he asked.
It sounds to me like you're too tired to go to the Marine Corps ball, which would be a phenomenal honor. He wasn't too tired to serve two tours in Nam to protecting your right, okay?
Taking Charlie out.
You know, rice when it comes to me, the date doesn't stop till the panties drop, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I can't do that again.
Oh, you can't.
I just can't.
You feel like you can't.
No, I'm pretty sure I can't. I'm just saying,
let's talk to Greg Myhouse right now.
Let's bring the Marine in question who sent the email to Lisa May this week. Greg Myhouse joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Look, Greg, we love America. We love you and support what you and the fine men and women in uniform are doing. I apologize in advance for Lisa, okay?
No problem. Hi, Greg.
All right, now,
Greg. What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Now, Greg, we have to ask you because Lisa's trying to make it sound...
pretty much you made it sound like you were a loser.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what she said. She said, last year your person crapped out on you.
Oh, you can't get a date. You're a loser. You'll just ask Lisa.
I think he's a very sweet guy. He's been busy working. It's, you know, it's not like they're out partying all the time, meeting women.
All right, Greg, are you... It is like that. They're Marines. They can just point. They have a job.
Do you know they have a job to do right now?
All right, let me stop. Greg, what's the lady situation? Because I can see how somebody would think, hey, you're a man in uniform and this is a great event that you guys do every year. How tough can it be to find a woman? What's the problem here, dude?
You know, it's not that tough. I had a beautiful date set up. She kind of bailed on me because she doesn't like formal events or whatever. And, you know, I...
Wait, is that this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
Last year, did it happen too?
Well, last year, it kind of just didn't happen.
It's all on him now.
But the point is, did you want to take Lisa to the ball?
I did want to take Lisa to the ball. And, you know, I asked her through email. She, you know, denied me. And, you know, I'm a Marine. I got, you know, I have to do mission accomplishment. You know, I got it. When I'm set to
do it. All right.
So, you know, I'm glad you guys are helping me. And Lisa May, please, would you go to the ball with me?
Hey, let me ask you one more question beforehand. Are you asking her personally, or you just want her to set up a fun night for you?
Honestly, Greg, let's think about it.
What would you like, Greg? What would be your ideal result?
I'd love to go with Lisa May.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, now, let's say this. You could go with me.
Right.
Or you could go with some younger hottie.
Right.
Possibly in a limo that you and your friends could go in. Possibly with your own photographer. Possibly not having to pay for your own tickets. Now what you choosing?
Wow.
Now you're the man,
where'd all this come from? Is this just stuff you're making up?
He's just a hooker, an eight ball blow, a pony keg. Here, Greg, this is what Lisa's saying. She doesn't want to go with you so badly.
She is willing
to take money out of her own pocket to buy you stuff because she really does not want to spend any time with you.
I knew Lisa was classy like that.
How much is Al-Qaeda paying you that you can afford to do all this, Lisa?
I would like to just stop the conversation. I want to remind you guys of many conversations we've had before where Lisa cannot say no to anyone for any reason.
That's true.
Well, some of our friends were asking her to lunch. She's like, I don't want
to
go.
She'll go to lunch with Dick Cheese.
But she won't go to the Marine Corps ball with a guy who's serving our country.
Because I want him to have an amazing time.
It's all about what Lisa wants. That's all that matters. It's about what Lisa wants, not what the Marine wants.
Let me ask a qualifying question, Lisa. In your mind, if the Marine doesn't score, is he going to have a bad time? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I just think he would have a better time with the situation
with
I'm
sex.
Creating. Who knows? At least there's a possibility.
All right.
Right?
Greg?
Doesn't a guy want a chance, a fighting chance?
Let's ask
the fighter.
Let's ask him.
I do. Lisa, I mean, you know, I could ask you a million times if you keep saying no. You know, as long as you help me out, I mean, I'd be forever grateful.
But it's a second choice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it is second place.
Look, Lisa hates America.
Well, as long as Lisa gets what she wants and the Marine doesn't get what he wants, I'm happy. That works out well.
He's
going to
get what he wants. So he's going to have a great time.
I'm going to make sure he has a great time.
That's not what he wants, turns out.
He just told us he didn't want that.
He said he doesn't know what he wants.
He does.
No, he doesn't.
Look, let me butt in here, guys.
I have a little experience.
I hate to be the peacemaker here. I hate to be the peacemaker here.
There's no time for peace and war, sir.
That's right.
I agree with my brothers here and my man Greg on the phone, who is a Marine. I agree that that Lisa hates America. There's no question about that. She is Al-Qaeda, and she's dead to me. She's dead to all of us. That we've got to accept. Now, the reality of the situation is Lisa has worked very hard with her contacts down in San Diego to set up what probably will be an equal or even better night for Greg with a young lady and all the services that she offered to provide there. And I think Greg is going to have a great time that night, whether Lisa's there or not. That's my official opinion.
That's great. I'm glad that you, Bean, and you, Lisa, know what Greg the Marine wants.
At least Lisa and Bean are happy. That's really all that matters.
Greg the Marine on the phone, who's well-spoken and can say what he wants, is being overruled by you two.
Because in the end, he'll know we were right.
Because really, it's Bean and Lisa are putting their lives on the line for America and really taking care of us. So as long as Bean and Lisa are happy, then I'm that's settled.
The first thing you said, Lisa, was you work during the week.
Well, yeah, I would have to take a couple of days off.
Done.
Sure.
Done.
Well, because San Diego is across country.
We'll cover for you.
No, but I would have
to
do that.
You can do the day of and the day after.
Don't have a dress. Have to buy a dress.
You know what? If you took the 2 days off and didn't get paid, it would cost you less than a limo and a photographer and a pony keg and an eight ball that you're setting up for.
And a hooker.
And I probably wouldn't be that much fun.
Wow.
It probably wouldn't be that much fun. I'm going to make sure Greg has an amazing
time. Lisa. We would have a great time.
You're not fun for any man. Doesn't keep us from going out with them. What about all the other men's lives you're ruined by going out with them?
I care about Greg.
Very much.
This is me caring about Greg.
Wow, I hate to see if you hated him.
Is it because he's a ginger? Now, be honest.
I didn't see any picture.
Oh, BS.
No,
you showed me a picture.
I did. He sent it after I told him that I would help him find
someone. After you blew him off, you found out what he looked like.
That's when he
You blew him off just him on general off. Principles.
Yes. All right, Greg, after hearing all of this, what do you want to do?
I mean, Lisa's package sounds pretty nice.
And so does yours, Greg.
So you mean you're talking?
You know what I'm? You
yes,
know.
We know.
So you're talking
saying.
About going for what Lisa is setting up for
door
you?
Door number two,
because
the limo, the photographer, the tickets, and the date. I think is what Greg is saying. He would be fine with, right?
Yeah, I would love that.
All right, so you're good with Lisa hating
awesome,
America.
Greg. See, Greg's a great guy. You
Look,
guys are.
No, Greg is playing for. Greg is playing for the wild card here, not playing to win the division. That's what's going on. He's settling. He's settling.
He's going
Look,
for
he
what
have
could
much
be
of a choice.
Potentially even better.
I thought I knew Lisa. She was the girl who could never say no.
He doesn't have a choice. It's either no date or take Lisa's package. That's the best thing he can do.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this Stop and do that.
Talking about
Lisa hates the Marines so much, she will write a big check rather than spend time with them.
Oh, I'm not writing a check.
Right. She will get freebies.
Don't be ridiculous.
Through her connections, rather than spending time.
She's gonna get a limo to come across the border from Tijuana. It's gonna be ugly, Greg. It's not gonna be good.
Hey, that sounds actually pretty well.
Greg, when is the ball?
It is November 5th.
All right, we would Saturday. Like to talk to you on that Monday afterwards.
All right, good to go.
Okay, set that good.
Up? Okay. All right. Yes, hey, thanks to you and the guys and the ladies down there in San Diego and Marines all over the world for the great work that you do. And I'm glad you contacted the Kevin Minch. I'm sorry we had to break your heart.
Thanks from Bean and I and Ralph.
Yes.
And
right, right. Yeah. Those of us that support you in the military. Right, exactly.
Right.
All right, Greg.
Thank
keep
you,
in touch,
Greg.
Buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thank you.
I'm afraid to look at my email anymore after what Lisa did, how she pooed on America. Listen to this. Christian writes in, the terrorists have won, an angel has lost its wings. I'm disappointed in you, Lisa. Krista, aww. Another Christopher writes in and says, oh, I guess now we know who SEAL Team 6's next target is, Lisa May. And then Eddie writes in, frequent Kevin and Bean contributor Eddie, hey, Lisa, based on your treatment of the U.S. Marine who asked you to the ball, I'm emboldened to ask you if you would like to accompany me to the Al-Qaeda ball. Since you hate America, I am sure you will have a great time. Please let me know your burqa size. Amen. Actually, is how that would aside. So have a good time at that ball, would you?
I will.
What was the date they gave? November 5th?
November 5th, yeah.
It's
right there in the middle
Saturday.
Of the week. Right there in the middle of the week.
It's a Saturday.
Right there in the middle of the week. She had to take work off. It's the middle of the week.
That's what she
he
told us.
He never gave me the date
Strangely
originally,
enough, that's what she
so
told
I looked it up
was
online.
The middle of the week.
I looked it up online. Oh. But there's more than one, apparently, in San Diego.
Yeah. Looks like we got a
Saturday.
America hater.
Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
Time for the final showbiz report of the week. Here's Ralph Garman.
Don't bogart that joint,
well, you do your part first, and then
don't
we sing the song.
Pass it a don't bogart.
I think you're missing some of the words.
This sad, sad story comes out of Phoenix, Arizona. A 14-year-old boy was arrested for making death threats this week when he posted his killing spree threats in the comments section of the YouTube posting for the Foster the People video for Pumped Up Kicks. As you know, Pumped Up Kicks is about a kid who goes to school with a
with a gun and threatens the other kids. And a 14-year-old boy, well, took those words the wrong way and used them as an inspiration for his own threats of violence. He said he'd go on a killing spree at his school and then commit suicide.
Can he reverse that?
I don't believe so. Teenager was taken into custody without incident, luckily, at his home after he posted those threats. But the scary part is when the police searched his home, they did find a sawed-off shotgun there in the residence, which made the threat a little bit more credible in a lot of people's eyes. But a potential tragedy was averted. And I always hate when people pervert music or movies or TV shows or something like that.
They'll find something to pervert.
When disturbed people like Bean go around, you know, just...
Hey, I didn't do anything.
Taking perfectly innocuous songs or videos or movies and then turn them into something bad, so...
I was just listening to Helter Skelter, and I was trying to kill the president for Jodie Foster's attention. That's all.
Well, see if the U.S. Secret Service takes kindly to that sort of talk. That's all I'm saying. Michael Jackson's new show opens on Sunday.
Will he be there?
Yeah, he's going to be there. It's called the Laying on a Gurney Tour. No, it's not. It's called the Immortal World Tour, and it isn't actually Michael. It's Cirque du Soleil performing their new show inspired by Michael Jackson and his music. 10 choreographers were hired to put the show together. More than 60 of Michael's songs will be played every night by a live band.
60?
Wow. Yeah.
I could name 10, I think.
It's Michael's recorded vocals you'll be hearing, but the backup musicians will be live.
Interesting.
The show will visit 60 cities here in North America before taking up a permanent residency at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm going to say, Ralph, tell me if you agree, that he has a strong enough catalog to mount a show like this, like shows previously done with the Beatles and Elvis.
I agree. And I think he's certainly got a strong enough international fan base that people who travel to Vegas will make that part of their entertainment choices. And Ashton Kutcher's got some troubles at home and at work. I've been mentioning all day that he has this girl, who a 23-year-old he allegedly had sex with, who's now shopping her story around for $250,000 to the tabloid, saying she'll talk all about their night of passion, which might make things a little rocky at home, on the home front with his wife.
You think she would just say, just a minute, Ashton, and go take some notes?
Yeah.
And then he said to me.
Yeah, she might. CBS now is saying they're not happy with Ashton Kutcher because he's using his on-screen appearances on 2 1/2 Men to surreptitiously plug stuff without their knowing.
Like what?
Well, he's an internet billionaire on the show, so he's constantly carrying around his laptop, and they've discovered he has been plugging internet companies by putting stickers on his laptop without letting any of the powers that be at CBS know he's doing it. He's had stickers so far for Foursquare, Flipboard, Chegg, The Hipmunk, and GroupMe. So when he puts up the flap of his laptop, there's stickers for these different internet companies on the laptop. And no one said, hey, wait a minute. That's product placement.
Isn't there somebody on TV shows that's their only job? Wouldn't they catch that right away?
If it is, they're not doing a very good job of it. Nobody knows whether Ashton is getting paid to plug these companies or not, but CBS is upset because they didn't have a chance to approve the stickers, and they probably wouldn't have if they had. So it's rough being Ashton Kutcher this week. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. T-Pain's 27 years old. Kieran Culkin celebrates his 29th birthday. Lacey Chabert. Remember her from Party of Five? She was so cute.
Sure. Now she's worst name show ever.
She's 29 years old.
Wow.
She's all grown up. Marion Cotillard.
Oh.
She's 26.
Bonkers.
Stop it.
Stop what?
36 years old today. Stop saying her eyes are bonkers. They're not. They're beautiful.
Bonkers.
Jenna Elfman is 40 years old. Where's your bonkers now? Where's the truest meaning of bonkers?
Bonkers.
Tony Hale from Rest Development is 41. Monica Bellucci, 47 years old. Eric Stoltz is 50. Fran Drescher is 54. And Barry Williams. Greg Brady of the Brady Bunch celebrates his 57th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. We have a great show for you on Monday. We have Odette Usman, who's now married.
Annabelle.
Odette Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Yes.
Annabelle.
Annabelle, everyone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is meat on the menu this week?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Nice
guy. Roll another one.
Yes, I love you.
Just unlike the other one.
Fat people should just not.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Respect the game.
And I need another hit.
I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab.
Lisa. Roll another one.
Yeah, there it is.
Just like the other one.
You know what? Respect. That's a baller move.
This one seems to be about to end.
How dare you?
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
What about the butt?
Well, the bones are that joint, my friend.
I ain't mad at him. Hey.
I'm just passing on down.
Cut. Print. Gay.
I had a lot of fun. Is there any chance we can come back and do this some other time?
Yes, sure.
Had to think about that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think it went well. I think it was good.
There weren't any laughs.
Well, that was a tough audience.
So, say peace.
Peace.
Love.
Laugh.
And serve.
Normally I don't condone leaving early, but I have an appointment with the horse doctor. How that horse became a doctor, I don't know.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Hey, guys.
No, you're done.